Don't get me wrong. I know that it's cold. There's no doubt about it. It's cold. But when I hear Steve Bertrand, a professional, a seasoned professional, say, right now it's zero.
He meant our IQ.
It's less than zero?
Less than zero.
To quote Bret Easton Ellis.
Right.
Great movie.
And novel.
Book.
And novel. Yep.
I go for the movies. Yep.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you.
It's guaranteed to keep you warm. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. You know Steve. Little Kevin's in the producer's booth if you have any questions.
We're playing some Almond Brothers to warm things up. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Nice of you.
It's Burr Rabbit.
Why would anyone, I know this is, it's been asked by other people, but why would anyone in their right mind go to the Bears game on Sunday? What would be in it? What could you possibly get out of that experience?
If you have tickets, they're not that easy. Well, I guess they are easy to come by now. But
really,
you can get them for like $50, I think.
I guarantee you way lower than $50 a ticket for Sunday's game.
I would go and tailgate for a while and start off, and then I'd leave.
Would you last that long?
I'd like to see kickoff.
Yeah.
If the Bears beat the Packers, it's worth it.
And what are the odds of that?
Decent.
The Packers are having a rough
season. Are
they not
showing up?
The Bears are not showing up.
Can I say the great Wayne Larrivee will be on the business lunch tomorrow, so we'll get
really?
A preview? Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It would be such it would be such a Bears thing to do to win this game for some reason, for some fluky, bizarre reason.
Because, we've said this before, now every time they win, it hurts them in the draft. So lay low, guys. There's nothing to play for. I wouldn't even show up. Why show up?
I asked you yesterday. I said, the Bears are still playing. Why wouldn't you just forfeit the rest of your season?
You technically can't do that. You can't. There's no forfeits.
I guess, does it matter?
Major League sports.
Even if they show up?
It doesn't matter. Do you know what I'm seeing a lot of, by the way? I meant to tell you this yesterday and got sidetracked. But you know what I keep seeing on the roads again? Now, here's something. See if you can guess. About 25 years ago, they were prevalent on cars, and then it kind of just went away for maybe 20, 25 years. And now, all of a sudden, a day doesn't go by that I don't see 2, 3, or 4 of these on cars. It's
the
getting
wreaths?
More and more popular. No, not wreaths.
The reindeer antlers?
No. The baby on board sticker. That's been gone forever. And now,
it's
all of a
retro,
sudden, I'm seeing
dude.
It a lot. Is that what it is?
Yeah. See, we were cool before. And nobody thought that, but now everybody's just recreating what we did.
Oh, is it? So that's an effort?
I don't know.
Although,
did you ever have a baby on board sign? Because I didn't either.
No. We would just scotch tape one of our babies to the back of our car.
And then it was obvious.
Right.
Right? Well, you wouldn't need a sign.
No, for a while, the baby on board thing was replaced by people that would put stick figures of each member of their family in the back window, and even if they had a dog or a cat, there'd be a stick figure of the dog or cat.
Some careers were shown.
Yeah.
Well, now you can get Star Wars action figures, and you can get Walking Dead ones to put as your family.
I've seen, speaking of the Walking Dead one, there's a Negan version where every member of the family is holding a bat with spikes in it. I've seen that one's kind of funny.
Wrapped in barbed wire.
Right. That one's kind of funny.
No, it's not.
Well, I always say to myself, what does this say about the mom and dad who chose that? It's like
they're
I have
Walking
a family,
Dead fans.
Very proud of it, but don't mess with us because we have bats with spikes on them. But I thought the baby on board thing was gone forever, and now I can't. And yesterday, the reason I wanted to say it yesterday is there was a lady that was straddling two lanes. She was driving, but going back and forth. She was like right in the middle of two lanes, and it's because she was texting and driving. And then I saw in the back of her van, it said baby on board. So then I'm thinking in my head, so she wants us to be careful around her because she has a baby, but she's in the middle of two lanes because she's texting on the highway. That
she should have texter on board.
Right. Or she should have stick figures of her family and they should all be texting.
Holding the phone with the two thumbs going.
Yeah.
I like that idea. That's a
better.
Warning.
Yeah.
I want to know why my car says bitch on board.
Yeah, who would have written that in the dust
I
on
don't
your
know.
Car? I don't know.
I park next to you.
What kind of font is it in?
Ears.
Oh, maybe I did it. I don't know.
This is in left font.
Who can remember? I write so many funny things on people's cars.
Your writing is hard to decipher, but nothing like Kevin's.
Kevin doesn't
it's
write.
It's the worst. I'm sorry.
I just got an email from Julie Stern about it.
It's that bad.
She's mad at me.
Yeah.
How can you not even try?
It's not that I don't try.
You're in a hurry?
It's that I don't care. I'm just kidding. I'm just
Merry Christmas.
Kidding.
Kevin fills out these forms for us every day, and what it is it's throws to news. Like, we'll read a commercial, and then it'll say, here's what you're doing. You're throwing it to news. Here's the sponsor. And then at the bottom, it's supposed to say Steve. And last week, Steve, instead of the word Steve, it said Schmo one day.
Yeah.
Sam another day. Strop another day. It never said Steve.
So if I can get inside Kevin's head right now, he's busy, he's writing, and he's thinking, yeah, why do I have to write Steve
right
down six times a day?
Then don't write anything.
As
I'd
long as
the
ST is there, you guys get it.
That's how I sign my name. You can see the S&T, and that's about it.
Yeah. Bill, I mean, this isn't Bust Kevin Day.
No.
But,
that was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yesterday was Bust Kevin
Day.
At 11:30 every day, Steve Bertrand leaves the news perch.
Usually for Kim Gordon, but not always.
But every day it says Kim Gordon, even if it's someone who's not Kim Gordon.
Right.
What am I, a mind reader?
No.
All right, dream is coming true, Kevin.
Yeah, apparently.
What was your dream last night?
You guys
were
scalding me. I was producing in this very studio, and then something happened. I don't remember exactly what, and I got scalded by Wendy.
Scalded.
I thought it was scald.
No, you poured hot water over
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's right.
It is cold out,
I know.
So that's one way to warm
it. Thank you.
Maybe it was that Adam Chappelle wasn't doing traffic today?
No, see, I knew that bugged you. I just know you guys so well.
Aren't you guys supposed to be on Christmas vacation, by the way? Aren't you guys supposed to not be here?
Next, Kevin.
You're
week.
Mean.
It's the cold.
I could tell when Steve Bertrand threw it to Adam Chappelle, and it's like, well, Jim Ryan, actually.
Yeah.
I knew that
How
Bertrand
could you know?
Was upset.
I didn't even speak.
I just know you, because I know that would bother me, because I'm a perfectionist, as are you.
I told Kevin it didn't matter. I would have forgotten anyway.
See, the person who gets thrown something in the business and it's not them has two options. They can either say, well, it's blank, blank,
or just pretend you didn't hear it.
Or do it in the voice of the person who's been introduced.
That's what people should do, because it would make life way more entertaining.
Right.
Huh. All right, good to know.
Yeah, from now on, that's how we do it. We'll take a quick break. We have a big full show. If you'd like to participate, we would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN.
I want to thank the Hofbrau House Chicago, which is over in Rosemont. They're having special a German Weihnachten holiday menu.
What are they having there, Wendy? What are they doing?
Weihnachten.
Weihnachten.
It's a special holiday offering on Christmas Eve.
What is that?
It's urban soupy.
It's what now?
Split pea soup with vegetables, pork, and chives.
Oh.
I can't speak German. Schweinbach Sprecken Sauerkraut.
Oh, yes, you can.
Listen to that.
Wow.
The last name is Snyder.
That was outstanding.
That's something else.
That's
Look,
roasted.
Colonel Klink is outside the window waving at you.
Say
no, not.
I was just going to ask you to say that.
Schultz. They dropped off a little package to talk about their Christmas Eve dinner. They have a special Christmas Day, menu, Munich-style New Year's Eve celebration. And they do have a website, which I don't know where it is. HofbrauhausChicago.com.
Yeah.
They dropped off some cinnamon roasted nuts. And,
so good.
And as per usual, neither of us are ever happy with what we get.
Well, you can't complain about this because they had no way of knowing, but I like cashews. You like almonds, or almonds, as you're supposed to say.
I say almonds.
Yeah, there's an L in it. So we didn't know that was the case, and I ate all the almonds. Almonds. And you ate all the cashews. And,
no, I didn't. I'm giving them to you.
You gave me a couple. That's very kind of you.
A couple? Here, take the rest of the bag.
I couldn't possibly.
It's the Christmas spirit.
Thank you so much.
I said, these are cinnamon roasted cashews. And you right away, like a baby, said, you got the cashews?
I know.
I said, why? What'd you get? Almonds?
I got a rock.
I think you guys need a little separation today or something. I'm concerned.
We're going to have almost 2 weeks off. Not together.
Yeah, after
so that'll
tomorrow.
Be good.
Right.
It's like, you know, the brother and sister. You start fighting after a while.
That was so nice of them. They were delicious. Did you get an ornament also? A very nice ornament that says HB on it.
For Hofbrau House.
Hofbrau. Yeah. Now, I have to get, every year I do an ornament exchange with Helena Bonham Carter. Can I give her this?
Yes. You have to put the C on it.
I have a silver.
I got some white out.
I have a Sharpie.
Okay.
So
yes,
Kevin
you do.
Got me a Sharpie for my birthday, and I'm going to put that on there. And Helena Bonham Carter, you're getting an ornament this year.
Well, you can go to hbchicago.com to send Helena Bonham Carter an email.
Right.
No, you can make your reservations. Just thank you very much, Hofbrau House in Rosemont. For giving us the ornament, the Stein.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you call a mug in German?
Yeah, I think so.
And you can have the rest of my nuts.
Give the gift of nuts this holiday season, Wendy.
I usually take yours anyway, so why don't I'm giving some back.
Thank you so much. They're so good.
We're all right here.
Later on the show...
Speaking of the holiday spirit...
Speaking of the holiday spirit, we said to ourselves, what will get people... You know, Christmas is a week and a half away. What will get people in the mood? And we all came up with the same idea. Professional bull rider, Tyler Haar, who is one of the best in the business at bull riding, will be by to teach us the ins and outs of that particular sport. Because I know next to nothing about bull riding.
You've never done the mechanical bull riding thing?
No.
Me neither. I've
no.
looked at it and I've thought about it.
I watched the scene in Urban Cowboy and I was moved by it. Moved to tears. I cried during that scene. I couldn't stop crying.
And
very
you were,
emotional.
If we could just clean up before we take a break and go to news. You had mentioned the baby on board stickers that were very prevalent
25 years ago everywhere, then not for a long time, and now they keep sprouting up again.
And you also mentioned the little stick figure families, which there are various scenes, including fans of The Walking Dead with little Negan bats, a.k.a. Lucille, mm-hmm. which are bats wrapped in barbed wire, and mm-hmm. the whole family, like even a baby had it?
The one I saw had a mom and a dad and two girls that looked to be, well, they're stick figures, so I know. They didn't look to be babies, but they didn't look like they were of college age. They were your standard...
A tween?
I don't know them well enough to say that, but sure.
Can I tell you what a listener saw? They texted us at 708.
Yeah.
I saw a rather disturbing display of those little stickers on the back window a few days ago. It was stickers of all types of guns and assault weapons, and it said, "You have your family, I have mine."
Wow.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
Yes.
You have to stick up for what you believe in. But
it always bugs me. People, I mean, just if you're annoyed by those things, just turn around.
I know, I agree. It's their car. They can do whatever they want.
Wasn't there the, was it a Christian thing with the fish?
Yeah.
And then all these people started doing evolution fishes and all the, you know, just attacking the people who are just putting a fish on their car.
That's all it is.
Just let them do it.
Right.
Who's texting you, Steve?
My daughter.
Stick figure version or regular version?
It's the regular version.
All right.
All right, quick break, and then we'll come back and do news, and we'll start our day because Christmas is a-coming. Can I tell you that?
Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. This is part one of our show. We're going to do part two later.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
We're supposed to do them out of order one day, remember?
One day we will surprise everybody and do part two first and then part one, and that'll be a fun day. Did you see what Jimmy Kimmel did yesterday? This is interesting. Jimmy Kimmel has been named the host of this upcoming year's Academy Awards. And for years and years and years, I mean, that's an honor. If you're in show business, to be asked to host the Oscars, that is one of the highest honors you could ever achieve.
And the toughest gig ever.
Oh, boy.
You got all these celebrities watching you.
Right.
All eyes are on you.
Right. It's a lot of pressure.
It is.
Over the years, Billy Crystal has done it very, very well. Johnny Carson did it. Bob Hope did it. Whoopi Goldberg's done it. David Letterman's done it. The list goes on and on and on. It's not an easy job, but it is a highly coveted, very prestigious job. All right. So this year, it's going to be Jimmy Kimmel. And people have been saying for the last few years, why wouldn't they give it to Jimmy Kimmel? He's already over there at ABC. It's great exposure for their network to have their late night guy front the awards. So
and he's great.
He really is. Very talented. Very
it's
funny.
A mix of, you know, funny but not over the top goofball funny.
Right.
He's really great.
Yeah, I like him a lot. So yesterday he did something that I don't think any Academy Award show host or host-elect has ever done. He told everybody how much money he will make to host the Academy Awards. Do you want to take a shot at what the host of the Academy Awards earns?
Wow, I have like no concept of
hard
money.
Hard to fathom this, isn't it? It's hard to figure this one out.
For one night of work?
Well, not really. I mean, because what goes into it is months and months of planning, your joke writing, not just you, but they have a staff of 8 to 12 writers. So there's rehearsals and there's writing sessions and there's all sorts of things. And the writing on award shows is interesting because they have to write jokes for all potential situations. Like you have each category, you have five nominees. So you have to write jokes for any one of those that could win, even though you're not going to use those jokes.
But you could use them for the people nominated anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So a lot of pre-show work and writing. $500,000.
You say $500,000? Is Steve around or is Steve busy?
No, I'm
you
here.
Take a guess.
I'm going to say 250.
$250,000 or dollars?
Thousand. That's high. I don't know.
I don't know. I thought $500,000 was high too, but
think about all that goes into that night. What a high pressure.
$1 million.
Every year it's one of the most watched shows on TV. You know, you have
its
yeah,
ratings
but not
have
just
gone
for
down.
The not just for the host. I mean,
they're not watching for the host.
No, of course not. They're watching for the, you know, pageantry of the awards, but the host is the one who, if everything goes well, makes it all work.
I'm sticking with my $500,000.
$500,000 for you.
I'll go 250.
Steve, you say 250. Kevin, you want to take a guess?
I want to say if he's going to reveal it, it must be a low number. Because otherwise,
yeah,
that might
interesting.
Interesting.
So I'm going to say 20,000.
20,000. Kevin is the winner. He will receive Jimmy Kimmel as host of the Academy Awards this year. $15,000. He said,
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, you know, I was thinking of the NFL. Remember how they wanted the performers to pay them to be
halftime.
In the
halftime?
Oh, yeah.
And it is a big boost.
That's still good money for, you know, some writing that you have help with.
Yeah.
That's not that good money. No way.
If you're Jimmy Kimmel and you're making millions a year, $15,000 is just pocket change.
Yeah, but it's good exposure.
That's what it is.
And it's
good
15
exposure,
grand.
Looks good on a resume.
It's a risk, though, right? Because
huge.
The people who fail there, man, they just get pilloried.
Neil Patrick Harris.
I was going to say, it's called Doogie Howser. I didn't even remember
James Franco.
He was not good.
No, the year with him and Anne Hathaway
was like a year without sunshine.
Oh, but even when people painful. Do well, right? I mean, Letterman got ripped for some of his.
Letterman did a really good job and was ripped just horrifically. And they said at the time, whoever was running the show said, I hope you enjoyed David Letterman because that's the first and last time you'll ever see him host the Academy Awards. And he was really good.
It is such a tough gig,
yeah,
man.
It is. It is.
That and being president are two things I would never do, nor will I ever be asked.
But you don't. Well, you don't know. Maybe.
You don't have to ask to be president. Well, I guess you do.
We learned this year that anything can happen when it comes to the presidency.
Then maybe I'll be hosting the awards
right.
next year. Who knows?
Who knows? So he, Jimmy Kimmel, when announcing that he's making $15,000 to host the Academy Awards, then said, I'm making that because I think it's illegal to pay nothing, as if to say they would prefer to pay me nothing, but they'd get in trouble for that. So they're just tossing me $15,000.
What are the odds of them canceling his appearance as the host?
No, ABC loves when he rips on them.
I guess they have a good sense of humor.
Every year, I don't know if he's still doing it now, but a couple of years ago, they would do this big thing where they'd bring in all kinds of TV writers, and they'd show them the new fall schedule. And they'd always have Jimmy Kimmel host it, and he would make fun of the shows. Well, there's a show that's sure to be a hit. You know, he would rip on the shows.
Well, good for ABC because, you know, that's what people do. That's what real people do is kind of knock it and don't have such thin skin. You know, let people talk about it.
Right.
Good or bad, they're still talking about a new show.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Even, I know we mentioned the Super Bowl show, the halftime show, and how they were trying to get people to pay them to be on the halftime show. At Saturday Night Live forever, like in the early days, you made the exact after minimum to be the host of Saturday Night Live because you would think, well, that's got to be a ton of money to host SNL.
No, you're promoting, it's always you're promoting your new movie or your new tour.
Right.
So, yeah, I didn't think they got a lot to do that.
Yeah.
Did Ellen host a couple of years?
Yeah.
Because she was.
She did a nice
job.
She
was really great.
Yep. Yep.
But I guess for 15 grand, she doesn't feel like it's worth doing it.
I wonder, that's one of those things where you can't even think about the money, because why would you?
You know,
even though there's the misconception from almost everybody, you got to make pretty good money. People who are up for that job know it's not, money has nothing to do with it. It really is. It's prestige and knowing you're in an elite club of people who hosted the Oscars.
Still, so, all the pressure, man.
Oh, tons. Tons and tons and tons.
Well, good for him. I just find him to be funny, and yet I prefer Jimmy Fallon.
Do you? Yeah.
It's so weird because they're completely different.
Yeah.
But I like Jimmy Fallon just being a goofball and doing bits with the guests and stuff.
Yeah.
I love him.
But by every account, Kimmel's a good guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard nothing bad about him ever.
Yeah, it's hard to find anybody who doesn't like him. But even though everything I think we've said is true about the prestige of hosting it, much like the winners of the previous year's Super Bowl, can you quickly tell me who hosted it last year?
No.
No? Steve?
Last year's Oscars were hosted by...
Nice stall. Quit looking.
I'm not looking.
I thought he was Googling.
No.
What's that aroma? It's the aroma of Google, fresh Google.
Who's the Australian dancer?
Yep.
Was it?
Nope, Chris Rock.
Chris Rock, he was good.
Damn it, I should have known that.
He was really good.
He pushed the boundaries a little bit,
but he was good.
He picked at some of the wounds.
Yep. Yeah. But, I mean, that's what everybody's talking about.
Most of the show last year was a serious lack of diversity among the nominees.
Yeah.
And everybody went, is he going to address it? And that's almost all he talked about at the beginning.
Because everybody was boycotting it, all the African Americans.
Yeah.
Who was the one?
What's Will Smith going to do if he doesn't get nominated this year?
And his wife is the one who wouldn't let him go.
Jada Pinkett Smith. Yeah, I know.
God,
Jada Pinkett, you will not, Smith.
How could I have forgotten Chris Rock and Steve? Yeah. Shame on you, too. It's just, you know what, out with the old. But really, I mean, we talked about it for a lot, and it's kind of odd that we don't remember that.
Well, you said you were getting towards Hugh Jackman, right?
Hugh Jackman, yeah. Thank you. Did he ever host it?
Yeah, a few years ago. Okay. He hosted it.
18 years ago.
He was good. Yeah, good.
You know, they didn't go, obviously he's not a stand-up, he's more of a song and dance man / Wolverine. So, so he did a lot more, you know, of a musical opening.
Right.
But he was all right. But I think because I did stand-up for so long, I want that job to go to a stand-up because I think that makes the show more complete.
It's kind of a given where it should go to a stand-up.
Well, so maybe the answer is it doesn't matter that much, so maybe there isn't that much pressure. If you can do well...
When you look out in the audience...
I guess we remember the people who do badly better than the...
Probably.
You know, the ones who do well.
Yeah.
But where the pressure lies, in my opinion, is Jimmy Kimmel is not this amazingly huge movie star.
Right.
And he's looking out into a sea of huge celebrities.
Right.
So that's where the pressure comes.
Oh, without a doubt.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it.
I think he's probably bigger than 75%, 85% of the people he'll introduce. Just.
What?
Well,
I mean, think of it.
What happens at Academy Award time is you always get a lot of nominees that most people aren't that aware of. It's a lot of kind of fledgling actors or actresses who had a good movie role.
But in the audience are all the bigwigs.
The audience and the presenters are always Hollywood elite. But his relationship with the A-listers of Hollywood is very strong.
Yeah. They're going to support him.
Yeah, I think so.
Plus, he's funny.
Yeah, very funny. All right. A quick break and then more show. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
So congratulations to Jimmy Kimmel, who, I'm sorry, he was really well-deserved to get that job.
I think so, too.
Hosting the Oscars.
He's come a long way. The first time most of us were introduced to Jimmy Kimmel was on Win Benstein's Money.
And then The Man Show.
And then The Man Show.
With Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
But didn't we talk to Jimmy Kimmel and Adam? No, we talked to Dr. Drew and Adam when they did their love line or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching The Man Show, and Jimmy Kimmel was great, but it was like he hadn't blossomed yet.
You wouldn't have predicted that he'd be the host of his own late-night talk show based on that, right?
I totally agree with you. Ted wants to jump into the conversation. Hello, Ted. We're talking the Oscars and Jimmy Kimmel hosting them.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that he's doing it, but I had a little bit of a fear of that. If they keep pushing the price down, you know, what they're willing to pay these people, the Academy's going to have to force themselves to accept people that are going to get up there and completely attack the Academy. And I think the perfect characters for that, if that happened, would be like Bart and Homer Simpson, because they attack Fox in their own show.
That's a good – that I would watch. I would love that.
It would be entertaining because they would just rip everybody and it wouldn't matter, and they wouldn't – obviously, they're cartoon characters. Who would care?
Well, they could make them like – I don't know what they did in the Simpsons movie where it was kind of 3D yet real. They could have them walk out on stage and do it. They could totally do that.
They've done that in the past with like the Muppets have come out and been presenters. They've never hosted. But
did Jessica Rabbit come out ever?
I think so. That sounds familiar. Yeah. So they've done animated and puppet type figures before, but interesting idea. Thank you very much, Ted.
Ted, would you do it for $15,000? And if so, could you give us one of your jokes of the monologue?
Well, I'd have to work on that for a while because I'm not really sure I'm geared for that.
All right, call us back.
Have a great holiday.
You too, guys. Thanks.
I know that's decent money.
It's pretty good money.
Who wouldn't go? I wouldn't mind a little bit of work for $15,000. But if you've reached that pinnacle of success like Jimmy Kimmel has, that 15 is just, it's, you know, chump change to you. What do you care for $15,000?
It's still $15,000, and it's going to be a fun night. Yes, he's putting work into it, but, yeah. You know, it's a great gig.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just to know, like, when your career is at its apex at the end of your life, you go, well, look at all the things I've accomplished. I hosted the Academy. That would be a huge notch on your belt, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Does Letterman look back at that and say,
I don't think he does.
You know, I hosted one time.
I don't think he does. And the
one and done.
Here's the funniest thing about that is I do remember that being a very solid show, and I remember him being funny. But he did that one joke during the monologue where he introduced Uma Thurman to Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah.
That just kind of laid there. And forever, that's the epitome of a joke that went south. You know, that'll always be the joke that people go, remember that joke?
But I also think that was one of those nights where everyone's opinion was formed later. Like, I didn't know he was bad until someone told me the next day.
I know.
I thought it was fine.
It was fine. It really was. But the network was embarrassed by it and stuff.
He was not that bad.
I'm telling you, if you want to go to YouTube, look up when James Franco and Anne Hathaway hosted, because it's bad every single minute. There's not a single thing in that show that you go, well, that was amusing.
There's no emotion. There's no funny. It was uncomfortable.
From minute one, just gave the, and I like James, I like both of them. I like Anne Hathaway and James Franco. They shouldn't have been hosting the show, but you just saw it in Franco's face, like, I don't want to be here. I'm going to get through this, but I don't want to be here.
He was fantastic in Freaks and Geeks. That's when I fell in love with him. I mean, really, great ensemble cast during Freaks and Geeks.
Right.
And I really got hooked on that 11/22/63, and he was awesome in that. That's about all I've seen him in. I haven't seen him in a lot of movies.
In every movie he's in, there's always a scene where he saws his own arm off. It's like his signature thing.
What movie was the real one that he did that?
Oh, I interviewed that guy.
The real guy?
Steve? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of the movie.
But he got caught caving and had to cut
his... stuck in a rock, so he had to cut his arm off.
You didn't see... What was the movie a few years ago, This Is the End?
What was that? I don't think I know that.
James Franco was in it?
James Franco and all his buddies, and they're playing...
They all play themselves
as horrible people. It was so funny.
The end of the world.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Oh, it was pretty funny. It was great. I took my son. We just laughed so hard.
Yeah.
Michael Cera was the best in that.
Michael Cera.
Jonah Hill.
He was like a drug fiend, right? Sarah, wasn't
they all play real, like, twisted versions of themselves.
All right, what's it called? This is the
end of the world.
End of the world.
This is the end, I think.
This is the end. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to watch that over the holiday break.
Yeah,
it's not holiday; it's my Christmas break. I'm so sick of trying to
please
everyone.
Are you going to work on New Year's?
No.
Okay, then I guess it's your holiday break.
I'm looking so forward to my break from Bertrand. That's what I'm going to call it, my Bertrand break.
Don't call it that. All right. Here's the game plan, everybody. In a little while, Steve will give you the news. And then when we come back, stop calling. We will have a professional bull rider in the studio, I promise you. Tyler Hart joins us right after the news. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. You know how I know that we're going to like Tyler Hart? Professional bull rider Tyler Hart. One of the top 35 bull riders in the country, Tyler Hart.
Why is that?
Because off air, you asked him a question. And Tyler looked you in the eye and said, no, sir, actually, and then he finished his answer to you.
And he was very embarrassed, so way to embarrass Tyler Har.
I'm just saying he picked up on your vibe immediately. Immediately.
What, that I'm the man in this relationship?
Yes. Tyler, thanks for being here.
I have to say I'm a bit smitten. You're like this really handsome, soft-spoken, other than the fact that you call me sir, great-looking cowboy.
I've never lived that one down. I don't
No, that's all right. You are so well-mannered. Where are you from originally?
I'm from southwest Arkansas, a little town called Hazen.
Hazen, Arkansas.
What's that town known for? Is that famous for anything?
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's kind of in the Delta Rice country.
But they have, in that town, one of the top 35 bull riders in the entire world, and that's you.
Yes,
sir.
That's
not bad.
Yes,
so when you go back there, everybody must know you. Everybody must love the fact that you've achieved what you've achieved, right?
Yeah, I'm just Tyler to them.
Really? Yeah.
Now, was bull riding really popular in Hazen, Arkansas, when you were growing up?
Yeah, I mean, all my friends and stuff, they like whenever... we'd have an event that come to our little town, you know, amateur events and whatnot. They definitely like to come out. I actually had one of the worst wrecks in my career in my hometown, and when I was 14, broke my jaw and crushed the right side of my face. It was kind
of. When you say wreck, do you mean a wreck on a bull, or
yes, sir.
You did? Oh,
where else do you think it would be?
Well, I didn't know. I don't know the lingo. Like I would say, I fell off a bull, but it's a you call it a wreck. It's a wreck, a bull wreck.
And you got back on a bull after crushing half your face and breaking your jaw?
Oh, yes, man.
See this mark
he figured
here, Tyler?
It out now.
I got bit by a gerbil right there on my finger when I was a kid.
Yeah, I actually broke my jaw earlier this year at an event in Springfield, Missouri, got knocked out and whatnot and rode the next night and finished the weekend off. So it's just we're cut from different metal. It's something we do.
Yeah.
We don't get paid unless we compete. And, you know, there's no sense in sitting on the sidelines whenever you're trying to make a living. So,
No, I'm just, you know, like this is a sport. This is professional bull riding, and their tour is going to come through the Allstate Arena January 13th through the 15th. Tickets are on sale now. You can go to Ticketmaster.com. This is a sport. This is exciting. Do you get that adrenaline rush right before you're announced, and then you come out on that bull?
Oh yeah, that's why we do what we do. I mean, it's best drug in the world, if I say. You know. You know, it's something I've been doing since I was a kid, and the PBR has, you know, fascinated me when I was three or four years old, and I've become a fan of it. And then the PBR has grown into this, you know, worldwide sport. You know, it's up, you know, on all of our ratings. You know, we set 13 attendance records this year, and our CBS viewership on TV is up 12%. And on two Sundays this year, we were the second sport only to the NFL. So, I mean, it's growing. It's in five different countries. We have offices in Brazil, Canada, Mexico, Australia. You know, it's a hot ticket, you know, and if you're in Chicago on 13th to the 15th, you got a date, you want to take a girl out to do something
good
fun.
Date night.
Yeah. She's not going to complain if you come with tickets to the PBR. So,
And you've added an extra night. That's how it sold out last time, only two nights, and now it's going to be there three nights at the Allstate Arena.
Yeah, there was such a demand for the tickets last year, they just added another night. So we're there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon.
Did you start practicing on a mechanical bull, or those probably weren't even around when you were a little kid?
No, actually, a hay bale is what I started on.
A hay bale.
What is that? Just a you just sit
yeah,
on
just
a hay?
A square hay bale.
Do you need a translator?
I don't know. Because hay does not move, Tyler. Hay stays in one place, but a bull moves.
Yeah, it was more to strengthen the muscles in your legs and stuff.
You got to cling on. You know, you got to have a tight grip, Bill.
Could you make good money being a professional hay bale rider? Probably not. Who paid to see that?
Yeah, my first time was actually a blur, and all my training leading up to that did no good because it was a wreck. I don't even think I made it to the end of the gate.
Really?
I had a good nod though. I nodded my head really pretty, but after that it was about it.
Well, isn't some of it show? I know the point is to stay on as long as you can, but a lot of it's like how you hold yourself, right?
Yeah, once you get to this level, I mean, it's definitely we're judged by how well we, you know, match the bull's moves move for move. You can only be as good as the bull you have, and the bull's marked 1 to 25. So if you have a 22-point bull and you don't ride him very well, you're going to be less than him. And if you ride him, you know, very well, you can be as many points as him or a point or two above him. So the whole objective is to stay on 8 seconds, of course, at first, you know, and then try to stay, you know, ride him as, you know, match him move for move, you know, and not look like you're behind and that sort of thing. It's like dancing, but with a 1,800 pound
gigantic ferocious, you know, animal.
Exactly,
that could kill you.
Exactly, you definitely have to let him lead for sure.
Oh yeah, you be Ginger Rogers. That's fine. Yeah. Let the bull be Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire.
Wendy with the point. About that. In horse racing, the jockey gets to pick the horse. You don't get to pick the bull.
No, sir, not until our championship round on Sunday. The first two rounds are randomly drew, and then our championship round is
the
top 15
on the third one?
Guys.
I'd pick a sleeping one. I'd go and pick the one taking a nap over there.
Yeah, it depends on how you come in. You know, if you're sitting first, you definitely want to pick one that you have a high chance of riding so you can continue and be the number one guy. If you're setting fifth, you're trying to make up points, so you have to pick one that's a little tougher. You know, you can score higher.
That's
on.
Good thinking. I wouldn't have.
Yeah, there's a lot
of
strategy that comes into it at that point. You know.
Yeah.
I have a silly question, not being
as opposed to the rest of the questions we've asked you so far, Tyler.
But not this is really silly, Bill. And you know, this is like an old wives' tale, and from someone who's never ridden a bull. There's a rope around the belly of the bull, mm-hmm. and rumor has it that it's pushed back a little bit away from their belly and on their junk. So then they buck like that to get it off. Is there any truth to that? To get the rope off, and that's what causes them to buck and, yeah. and run and jump.
That's one of the many misconceptions of our sport and things that people have taken and, you know, run with it. But I think if you use a little common sense as a man, any man, if you, you know, go and grab your husband or your boyfriend by their junk, mm-hmm. and see how much they jump and buck around.
Right.
They're probably going to stand really still until you release the pressure. No, if you know the anatomy of cattle, it's kind of the same anatomy as
does,
a human.
Just to eat it. I don't know to ride it.
If a human male was to, you know, stand on their hands and knees, the flank goes around where our belt goes. You know,
oh.
It's just on
so
their...
it's for you to hang on to? Is that kind of why the rope is there? Or
no, it actually causes them kick. They're ticklish. They're very ticklish, just like a human, and that flank's down there by their belt. And they're so sensitive, they can, you know, feel a fly on their back. So whenever they feel that rope back there, and it's, you know, it's tickling them. If you walk up to a bull or a horse, you know, and touch them in their flank area back by their hips, not underneath them, I mean, just on their side, they're going to kick at you. I mean, that's just something
sure.
people know not to do, you yeah. know, around horses or cattle or anything. I mean, they're just...
Did you know not to do that? Because
yes.
I sure didn't.
Everyone
well,
knows that.
That's just, so it's not, you know, it's...
You're not hurting them. It's not
no,
tied around
I mean,
any particular
use
area.
Sense. I mean, you know, you grab somebody's testicles, they're not going to go running and jumping around. And,
tell me about
and
it.
And if you know, if you're man enough to go out there and do that, I want to watch. I mean, I want to, because you're but no, it's definitely not. It's just in the general area or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like sits where our belt goes on a human.
Yep.
God, yep. I did not know bulls were ticklish.
Oh,
so that is
Wendy,
something I've learned today.
They love to be tickled.
Yeah. I don't know if they love it.
I mean, they're just
love
sensitive.
It.
They can feel a fly on their back and,
yeah.
and knock it off with their horn. You know? So, I mean, they're just very sensitive. They know where everything is on their body. And they feel us when we're on their back. I mean, that's how bulls get their tendency of whether they spin left or spin right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a bull is guaranteed to spin left, but if you're over in his way, you're trying to cheat him, you know, on the left side, he's not going to go into you. You know, he knows where you're at, and, you know, they're very sensitive. They're smart animals, and they're not, you know, they're not dumb by no means. And they learn this game, and they enjoy it, and they're, you know, they're there to play for sure.
So that's kind of playtime for them in a sense.
You know, there's some of the stock contractors that's had bulls, you know, world champion bulls that have gotten used to going, that whenever they leave home, once them bulls are retired, those bulls, you know, they throw a fit. You
mm-hmm.
know, Little Yellow Jacket was one, Bushwhacker's one, that one of our old, you know, retired bulls, that when those stock contractors leave with all the other bulls, I mean, they're out there running up and down the fence. I mean, they're wanting to go. I mean, that's, you know,
they're bored now without that, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, they're athletes at the, you know, greatest sense, and they learn very quickly that's what they're, you know, there to do, you know. And so whenever they get older, I mean, they want to go play with the young guys still, you know. They're not they don't want to be done, but
of course,
because of their age and things like that, you know, the owners, you know, understand it's time to retire them and
yeah.
turn them out to pastures with all the pretty gals. So
yep,
make new little bucking
no complaints.
God,
not,
he is
not
a
bad life actually for a
no
bulldog,
no
yes, me.
Please,
God, we have a hot cowboy in the studio right now. I think we need to take a break.
We'll take a break.
I need to towel off.
It's required by law. Anytime there's a hot cowboy in the room, you must take a break from time to time. Tyler Haar is here explaining the sport of bull riding. He's one of the 35 best in the world. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Tyler Haar is here. He's a professional bull rider, Wendy, one of the 35th best in the world. Not like me. One time Horace Grant gave me a ride on his shoulders for my birthday. That's as far as my bull riding experiences go.
That doesn't count. Yes, Tyler Haar, professional bull rider of the PBR, which stands for Professional Bull Riders, built Ford Tough Series. They're making a stop at the Allstate Arena January 13th through the 15th. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them at Ticketmaster.com. I guess we have asked stupid questions because there are a lot of listeners that have texted in really good questions. So, Tyler, maybe you
for
can
sure.
answer some of these. Ask him about the effect of how riders from South America have changed the sport.
They've definitely upped the competition level. Those guys, they come here from... you know, a lot of them from a lesser, you know, privileged life as a child, and they come here to make a living for their family back home, and they're not going to, you know, they're going to do whatever it takes to do that. And so they don't come here to play or play games or anything. They come in here and they work hard and they're very successful.
Is their writing style different, though?
Yeah, it is different.
How is it different from here in America?
For one, they use a different rope that is a little different, but they're more of strength riders. They sit behind the rope and you know, lift and stuff, whereas American riders kind of stand up and try to stay out in front of the rope.
Yeah.
Their bulls down there are a little different than they are here. They're bigger, slower, stronger bulls, whereas our bulls here are more really fast, really athletic. Now, not that we don't have big bulls, but as a whole, our bulls are very fast, very athletic, and definitely, you know, more diverse, you know, set of bulls than they have down there.
When they come here, do they get to bring their bulls from South America with them, or do they, Los Toros, by the way, or do they have to ride the American bulls?
No, sir. They have to ride the American bulls, and it normally takes a minute for them to adjust, but once they get adjusted to the speed and stuff, they're pretty hard to beat, for
sure.
I bet. They're just very, very focused and determined to, you know, to do what they come here to do.
Someone else tell Tyler, we were just in Vegas for the national finals. Mm-hmm. Were you there?
I was not. I did not get to attend that this year.
Please ask Tyler, his view on helmets versus cowboy hats. No one's wearing a helmet when they're bull riding, are they?
It's actually, you know, the PBR's put a rule in effect. If you're born after 94, then you're required to wear a helmet. So eventually,
really?
It will become where all the guys are wearing helmets. But, you know, there's guys that were grandfathered in, and, you know, if you're born earlier than that, is, you know, it's still an option for you. I personally don't wear a helmet.
Can't you make a helmet that looks like a cowboy hat? Like a helmet is underneath your cowboy hat. Make it 15 gallons instead of 10 so it'll fit the helmet.
Yeah. It's just personal preference, you know. It's something, you know, if a guy, you know, thinks that that's going to maybe give him an edge, you know, mentally or whatever, it's something he might do.
But you're not afraid to be riding the bull with it and not have a helmet on? That doesn't scare you at all? Because I play ping pong and I wear a helmet.
You know, I think, you know, anything you do in life, there's a fear element, you know, any kind of extreme sports, and that's something you have to get over and move forward, you know, move past. And, you know, on the other side of fear is freedom. And there's been a lot of times in my life I've let fear keep me from doing things that I wanted to do and keep me from being successful. And, it, you know, this sport has taught me how to, you know, look past that and know that, you know, it's going to heal. Most of the pain is going to heal and go away. The regret of not doing it, however, will be there forever. And, you know, if something bad and tragic was to happen to me in the arena, then, you know, so be it. But
yeah. I'm comes not with gonna, the territory.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit around and worry about that, because all that's going to do is allow that to happen, you know, easier. If we're not, you know, our sport's dangerous, but if you're not 100% focused and, you know, mind and body and everything, whenever it comes time to do this, then it's downright suicidal. I mean, you can't be thinking about whether you got a helmet on or
sure.
not. Whenever you make up your mind whether you want to, how you want to go about the sport, and then after that, it's, you know, it's 100% focused on the job at hand. You know, you can't worry about whether you have a helmet on or not.
One final thing, and I don't know if this is true. 815 has texted us. The old saying, in bronco riding, the horse tries to throw you. In bull riding, the bull tries to trade places with you. Any truth to that?
I don't know if I've ever heard that one. That's a new one on me. The bulls, they definitely know their job. They're like a UFC fighter, though. A lot of our bulls are calm at home. Our world champion bull, Asteroid, you know, his owner actually puts his child on his back at home, just
what?
Sitting in the
he's
pen,
that gentle.
Feeding,
wow.
Oh, yeah, just gentle as a dog. But whenever they come in that arena, you know, they change. You know, they're like a fighter. When they come in that octagon, I mean, they change into a total different person.
Sure.
And that's how our bulls are, you know, and us as cowboys is the same. And we're nice when we're out and about. But when we step in that buck and shoot, it's game on, and we're both know what we're there to do. And
is there eye contact? Are you and the bull looking at each other in the eye going, I'm going to win this one?
So there's a lot of, you know, whenever we're putting our ropes on them back before they actually come in the shoot, as we're waiting for our turn or whatever, there's definitely some standing beside each other time, and they're a lot of times snorting and butting their horns against the fence, you know, and a little intimidation, you know, time for intimidation for sure back there. But it's definitely, it's definitely a competition, and they learn when the competition is on and when it's not, and when they're at home, a lot of them are just, you know, calm pets for sure. Hmm.
And I'm sure they're cared for very well because these are their prize animals.
Well, yes, like I said, I mean, they let their kids ride them, and they go out and they, you know, they're all over them, petting them and whatnot, and they all have their each of them have their stalls, and as a bovine animal, if I was going to be reincarnated as a bovine, that's definitely what I'd want to be, because sure. They're definitely the rock stars of their species.
Look at that. Does red really make them angry, the color red?
Has nothing.
That's a wives' tale.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, nothing.
All right. I was going to put you in a red shirt and put you out at the Allstate Arena.
I already gave Tyler a resume to be a rodeo clown in January. You said you'd get back to me on that, right?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
cool. That'll be fun.
It is a pleasure to meet you. You're quite a handsome cowboy and quite a talented bull rider, professional bull rider, Tyler Haar. You have a website. It's TylerHaar, HARR.com. And don't forget the PBR Built Ford Tough Series coming to the Allstate Arena for an additional day this year, January 13th through the 15th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. A pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thank you, miss.
Take care, Tyler. A quick break and then some news.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean, Bill.
Well, you can't deny the fact that Dean is Dean. I mean, there's nobody more Dean than Dean is. Dean joins us as often as he possibly can on Thursdays, and we talk about movies in the world of show business. How are you, Dean? Everything good?
Everything is delightful. It's an exciting time in the movie business, although I am sad today at the passing of Dr. Bombay.
How about
Bernard
that?
Bernard Fox.
Calling Dr. Bombay.
Yep.
Calling Dr. Bombay.
Isn't that what they said together?
Yeah.
And then he was always put out by the fact that he was in Venezuela and he was attending some special thing.
On
an
African safari, or I found a clip this morning where he was dressed up as a matador.
Yep. That was always fun.
Get a bull rider in.
What do you want now, Samantha?
Now, you know what this means is that every major player from Bewitched, with the exception of Tabitha and then Baby Adam, they're all gone.
All
everybody
adults,
from Bewitched.
All the adults are gone.
Yep. Larry Tate is gone. Eunice is gone. The next door neighbors are gone.
The
Both
Kravitzes.
Darrens are gone. The Kravitzes are gone. They're all gone.
Abner.
Thanks for cheering me up.
Yep. You're all welcome. Right. Merry Christmas.
I'll bring it back.
I'm a big fan of Abner Kravitz. I did that on purpose.
Well, you know, he was also, Bernard Fox played an integral role in the movie Titanic as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was. He had a very integral role in the most popular movie of all time.
Yeah.
He was in the 1999 version of The Mummy. Really his last two movie roles. His last acting role was in the early 2000s on Dharma and Greg.
Oh, really?
Of all places. He really hasn't done anything since then. So, I mean, he was only 89 years old. That's not that old.
No.
It's so funny now that we're older,
right,
we're saying it. Because 69 with Adam Alan Thicke, that is not old to me.
Right, not old at all. Yeah.
But it's funny, we're even stretching it. With 89's not that old.
The oldest lady on the planet's 116, and when she dies, I go, 116 really isn't that old when you stop
not
and think
much,
about it.
Not that much, really. She was just in the prime of her life.
Right, she's a teenager.
Yeah. It's he hasn't really done that much in the last... I guess 10 years, you know, he's just been taking it easy.
Bernard Fox, we just found out yesterday that he had passed away. Now, Wendy and I were discussing this earlier. Jimmy Kimmel is going to host the upcoming Academy Awards, and he did something no other host has ever done. He told the world how much he's going to earn for it, Dean, and it's $15,000.
Seems pretty good for one night's work.
It seems low.
Except it's not really, because there's so much planning that goes into it, so much joke writing, so many rehearsals and stuff. And then... there's so much pressure involved with that one night.
Well, that's true, but I mean, it's such a high-profile job. Isn't it like, compare it to, like, performers for the halftime game at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Where I don't even think they get paid, do they?
Don't think anymore.
There's a minimum that you have to make if you're on network television, but it's in the hundreds. It's really low.
Hundreds of dollars to do the halftime show at the Super Bowl, because they figure it's such a big promotional deal. It's such a high prestige job, so I would think that probably plays into what apparently Bill thinks is peanuts.
I turn down $15,000 jobs all the time. Right. I don't even bother me unless it's 15:05.
Right.
I don't
That's how much Bill made in the first hour of today's show. Just to put it in comparison. Right.
And they pay me in candy.
And
so
honestly, way more funny, to tell you the truth.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's talk. There are two huge movies, not just big movies, but huge movies opening this weekend.
Huge.
One I'm going to see tonight. I can't wait. Go ahead.
I wonder what that could be, given the history of your family.
Although I haven't talked to Jim. He saw it last week, and both my boys and me said, we don't want to talk to you because we're scared you're going to spoil something, right. But he knows better.
Yeah, well, Moana is a good movie.
Moana's as good as they say.
I'm so glad I pre-ordered my tickets.
I don't want to. I don't want to give away any spoilers of this or anything. No, we're talking about Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Everybody's been calling this a standalone film, and I was buying that. I was going along with what everyone was saying until I saw it. I don't think it's a standalone. I mean, it definitely stands by itself, but it is an integral part of this whole legacy. It's an add-on film, I think, more than a standalone film. It's standalone in the sense that there are new characters. It's standalone in the sense that we don't have any of the Skywalker kin, brothers, sisters, father. Well, no, actually, now that I think of it, it's not exactly 100% true in the relative department.
Yeah.
But the...
Luke's cousin Donnie is in this one, right?
Right.
Donnie Skywalker?
Yeah, exactly. Donnie Skywalker. That's the big musical number in the movie, which, I'm not going to say. I don't know if that was a good choice to put in a Star Wars movie, to have Richard Simmons especially leading a Star Wars number.
Odd casting.
I think it fits perfectly in this whole thing. So I've stopped calling it standalone film.
Oh,
it's a great movie. It's a really great movie. I only have like minor quibble with a couple of things, but just to put it all into perspective, it is set between episodes 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, just before the original Star Wars movie from 1977.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story about the beginnings of the development of the Death Star, the weapon that's used in episode 4 that is a planet killer. That's the ultimate death weapon. And it's up to this group of rebels to try to find the plans for this weapon that was developed largely in part by one of the main rebels in this story, who was played by Felicity Jones, beautifully by Felicity Jones. Her father, who was a brilliant scientist, was kind of dragged back into the Empire to help develop this. He has left clues as to where the plans can be found, and it's a matter of finding these plans so they can analyze them. And this is where the connection is made. So those plans can eventually find their way to Princess Leia that we saw in the first movie, handing them to the droid. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And, it's the whole story from episode 4. That's what it leads up into. And it's tremendously exciting. It's tremendously, it's a really good, solid story. There's plenty of good, solid action in it. I will say that it's a battle-heavy movie.
Oh.
And maybe a little more battle-heavy than it needed to be. It seemed like the director, Gareth Edwards, who probably, I guess, his best-known film up until this point was the Godzilla movie a couple of years ago, leaned heavily on the action and battle scenes in particular. So I think it's a little more than we've seen in other movies. I personally would have liked to have seen a little less of that and a little more character development. I think you get a pretty good surface knowledge of all of the characters, except one that I think is a real standout. There is a robot character who is the smart aleck, sort of the comic relief in the movie, who, to me, stands out from all the rest. I would have liked to have seen one of the humans stand out and make me care about that character as much. Would have liked to have seen a little bit more character development in it. It's not a deal killer at all. I still thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I was ear-to-ear grins at every nostalgic moment, and there are many of them.
Are there really?
Of characters. There are quite a few cameos of familiar characters and figures from the previous franchise. There are, you know, ships, equipment, sites, all things that you'll recognize if you're a Star Wars fan. And each and every time.
Oh, good.
And the audience that I saw it with, big round of applause went up. Clearly, that was everybody's, you know.
Yeah. I love when
equipment
that happens.
That we recognize.
Well, it's nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
I recognize that. I know that. I know him. I know her. I know these things. And there are some really remarkable things. Not to mention, as I say, that there are cameos from
Harry Potter.
Some of the previous characters. Ron Weasley, what are you doing on Alderaan?
Seven Dwarves.
What's Ron Weasley?
Oh, yeah, the Disney crossover. Yeah, the Seven Dwarves are in it?
Yeah, they're in it. The girls from Frozen are in it.
Great.
Yeah.
Let It Go.
Shaggy and Scooby-Doo are in it.
They sing Let It Go right before they fire the Death Star.
They sing Let It Go before they explode the Death Star.
On Naboo?
On Naboo. Naboo.
Did somebody say Naboo? Got to bear necessities and must simple.
Now, Dean, the scene that's getting a lot of attention is the Empire decides to build the Death Star, and then the Friends of the Park try to block it. Do they talk about that a lot?
They do. Oh, it's a huge big deal. It's a huge big deal. I didn't think that Rahm Emanuel took cameos in films anymore. I wasn't going to give that up, but as long as you bring it up, all right, there you go.
Go ahead and laugh, Bill. You're going to see it, and how much is it going to make this weekend, are we talking?
300 million.
300
billion.
Worldwide.
Billion.
Billion?
Wendy
says billion.
I heard people say, well, million.
I think million. I think million. Right. I think million. Forrest Claypool, what are you doing?
How'd he get in
this movie? There is a cameo.
You got it. Next
There's a character cameo from previous franchise of an actor who has been dead for more than 20 years.
Spoiler alert.
No. I mean, it's in all over the place. I don't think I am spoiler alerting it. But here, all I'm saying is this. The guy's been dead for over 22 years.
Yeah.
And
That's how good this movie is. He still shows up.
They took someone of a similar frame and through special effects put the original character's face on this other person's body for a rather significant role in the movie.
That's cool.
That's cool special effects.
I'm sold. I'm going to see it. Dean Richards is here.
Dean's list A-.
Dean's list A-.
Look at that.
A-.
A-. Took a little bit off of that character development thing, but it was an ear-to-ear grin watching this movie. I loved it.
I can't wait to see it tonight. All right, we're talking to Dean Richards and Rogue One. Star Wars Rogue One got an A-. What else is out?
Only one of the best movies of the year, and I think maybe my choice for best movie of the year.
Really?
Haven't quite decided if this is going to be my best movie of the year, but it'll be top three for sure. La La Land, starring Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. It is just one of the most original movies that I've seen in a long, long time. It's a story about these two performers. One is a jazz musician. The other is a struggling actress. And they are, along with thousands of other people just as talented in Hollywood, trying to make it big. They meet each other and they find sort of a comfort zone in each other because they know what each other is going through, supporting each other creatively and personally, really striking up a relationship. And then the story becomes more about can people grow together as a couple as well as they can individually and separately. A lot of times you lose one or the other when you become part of a couple. That's what the story is about. But it's told with a really touching, sweet drama. But what really sets this movie apart, it's the most original song and dance musical that you'll ever see. Gosling and Emma Stone, turns out, are great singers, great dancers, and flawlessly take you through this story with some beautiful, wonderful, touching choreography. The whole film feels like old Hollywood. It's a celebration of old Hollywood while telling this sweet story about being in a relationship, and if a relationship can sometimes be stifling to one's individuality. I love this movie. I can't wait to see it again. Big old Dean's List A on this one. It opens at select theaters around the Chicago area. I promise you this is going to be a Best Picture nominee when those come out next month.
Dean, those two actors, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, have been paired off in other movies before. They have a great chemistry together. It's good to see them working together again.
Absolutely adorable. That chemistry is so obvious. They're so sweet together on screen and separately on film. And the director of this movie, Damien Chazelle, takes such a very light hand in creating this movie, and I think that's what gives it such a fresh quality. He gave us the movie a couple of years ago, Whiplash. Remember?
Yeah. About, oh, I loved that movie.
The high school music teacher, the tyrannical high school music teacher. This movie has a similar light-handed touch. It doesn't have a lot of Hollywood predictability to it at all. Loved it. La La Land, this is, you know, if you can't get in to see Rogue One, this would definitely be another choice.
Perfect. Dean, have a great holiday.
Guys, you guys are going to be gone.
Yeah.
Yep. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I miss you already.
Oh, we miss you already.
We'll come by.
Yeah, we'll stop by the house.
No, I don't miss you that much.
All right. It's Dean Richards, everybody. Great reviews for Rogue One and for La La Land. Have a great holiday, Dean.
See you guys. Bye.
All right. A quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thanks for letting us know before we go, Kim.
And before I go, I just want you to know it's my parents' anniversary today.
What?
Yes.
How can that be? You're just celebrating
anniversary,
and now your mom and dad are?
53 years.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
Beautiful.
Happy anniversary, Kim's mom and dad.
Just add it to your list.
They are at the Sybaris right now checking in and should have a very nice weekend, Wendy.
Please, well, that's TMI. I can't even go there.
It's a shame they're at the Sybaris, Bill.
Well, this is a story, Kim. This is one of those stories I think that if you're a news person, you don't want to deliver because people blame you. But listen to this. There's a whipped cream shortage. Did you know that there's a whipped cream?
I actually heard that.
There's a whipped cream shortage.
It's
listen
a serious
to this.
Issue.
Going to be a dull time at the Sybaris.
Especially at holiday time, you don't want to be without whipped cream. If you want that happy feeling nothing in the world can buy, then pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie. This is according to Huffington Post.
What are you, Dr. Seuss?
I'm just going to sing Christmas carols now. But you may not have any whipped cream to put on them. Again, the Huffington Post reporting just hours ago, there is a nationwide shortage of nitrous oxide. That's the gas that is used in whipped cream spray cans, such as Ready Whip. But
Those damn dentists.
Are they the ones using it all up?
Yes.
It's in stores now, but we're encouraging people to buy early, says ConAgra spokeswoman Lainey Friedman. ConAgra is the company that makes Ready Whip. I guess everyone knows that, right?
They had this issue with pumpkin pie a few years, pumpkin before Thanksgiving a couple years
there
ago.
There was
too.
A pumpkin shortage. Yeah.
They were telling everybody to buy it early.
Yep.
But you can always go Martha Stewart and make your own whipped cream. I mean, it's not like you can't get it.
So when you make your
Cool
own
Whip. I know it's completely different.
There's always going to be Cool Whip.
Cool Whip sweeter.
I happen to like Cool Whip.
I do too.
But when you make your own, is it as frothy as it is when you get it out?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, but it takes a while.
Do 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 do.
Just beat it.
There will be a shortage if people buy at typical levels during the holidays. Again, Lainey Friedman explaining this to our Chicago Tribune. The shortage is due to a deadly explosion at a Florida plant run by a company called Airgas. This happened back in August. Why was I not informed of this?
I didn't hear about the explosion at the nitrous oxide factory. That's like an explosion at a fireworks factory.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything goes.
Everything must go.
Blowed up well.
The nitrous oxide from the plant is used by ConAgra, again, the parent company of Ready Whip, as well as other companies that make whipped cream. But it's also used for medical purposes. Isn't that it's a miracle that the same exact gas that is used for delicious whipped cream is used for medical purposes.
Well, it's just
so is marijuana, Bill.
Yeah, marijuana, right. No shortage, according to this story, though, Kim.
You only use the nitrous to dispense the whipped cream. You don't need it to make whipped cream. You need it to get it out of the can.
Right. I would have thought, because they haven't made a David Lynch movie in a while, I would have thought that would mean there's plenty of nitrous oxide to go around. He likes to use nitrous oxide in his movies.
Don't you love just to spray that whipped cream, though, in your mouth? We used to love to do that when we were kids.
But you would get that weird kind of a spacey feeling when you do it. You got whipped cream coming right at you. That's delicious. But then you get that weird gassy kind of...
I never got that.
You didn't?
No, because you're supposed to, if you did it, like, if you,
you
tipped
to tilt
it upside
it up,
down.
Otherwise, you do you get all the
yeah.
gas.
Yeah.
I just got the whipped cream because that tasted better than the nitrous to me. I don't know how you did it.
Oh. All right.
You got to shake it and then, you know, turn your head upside
down. Right.
Right.
Tilt your head back and turn the can upside down and spray.
I put it on the dog's nose. I really do. I put a little dollop every year, and I have some left
dollop
over
for
from
Daisy.
Thanksgiving. So I'm okay with the shortage.
You better check the date on that.
Ooh, yeah, please.
It's good for like 3 months.
Oh, it is.
Okay. Whipped cream is? You know, they also make, this is a miracle, they make chocolate whipped cream. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, but what do you put that on?
Anything.
More chocolate.
Anything. Lamb chops.
Too much chocolate.
Put that on anything. Soup.
How would that be in your Jell-O mold?
Chocolate whipped cream. That's like the...
That's remember, a travesty.
Do you remember a few years ago I said, hey, America, start making chocolate eggnog because that's going to be some good stuff is chocolate eggnog. And nobody did. Not last Christmas, but the Christmas before, I finally saw it in a store, chocolate eggnog. But I didn't buy any.
Why?
I don't know why.
Do you like eggnog?
I love eggnog.
I hate eggnog.
You guys. Don't.
We like veggies. You like eggnog. We'll stick to that.
You like veggie nog?
I have delicious. So, I'm sure they have almond nog.
Oh, it's terrible.
Did you try it?
Yeah. Oh. We got it this year. I said, you know what? Because I like almond milk a lot. I like chocolate almond milk a lot. And I went, well, how could this go wrong? It's eggnog, but with almonds, it's healthier for you. It's not good.
Really?
It is so not good.
You know, I find it shocking that you like eggnog but don't like pumpkin spice anything because it's almost the same flavorings. Nutmeg is very prevalent.
I do like nutmeg. But
yeah,
it's the pumpkin
well, I like
base.
Pumpkin spice, but I don't like eggnog. I don't like eggs.
I don't eat, Kim, I don't either.
I love eggs.
I never eat
them. The incredible edible egg.
I won't eat it. You can give it to somebody else. I don't want it. But in eggnog form, I'm in.
Is there really egg in nog? Like the manufactured one?
Well,
what is a nog? What is,
I know? Think nog refers to the drink aspect
that's
of
a
it.
Grog.
No, but no, I think nog means beverage, doesn't it?
In what language?
In caveman.
That's grog.
Flintstone.
Right. Remember the Flintstones episode where Wilma and Betty were making eggnog and Mr. Slate? You don't remember that episode? That was famous.
And then they called Dr. Bombay.
Dr. Bombay was in it from Bewitched.
Wait, Lou Manfredini's checking in. Hey, what's new to Lou 2?
I love you, love your show.
Thank you, Lou, and oh, likewise.
That's what you're supposed to say when you call man cow. I forgot.
Oh, right. Sorry. It's fine.
I have the greatest whipped cream maker. I heard that you think it takes a long time to make whipped cream.
Yeah.
It's a product we featured on Noodaloo 2 called the Creasy.
The Creasy? Why is it called that?
It's a mason jar.
Yeah.
With two little silicone balls in it. You put a little heavy whipping cream in it and a little sugar. And you shake it, which is great for your arms.
Yeah.
30 seconds, you have whipped cream.
Really?
It's amazing.
Where is the Creasy available, Lou?
I think online, but we tested it out live on the air, and I was completely skeptical.
Yeah.
And I sat there, and I shook my little arm off for 30 seconds, and it was delicious.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
And if you keep shaking it, you get butter.
No, you don't.
Yes. Yes.
Lou, I'm pretty sure you don't.
You do.
You get butter if you keep shaking it?
Yeah, I mean, you really got to shake it, but it turns into butter.
Sweet butter.
All right. All right.
Crazy.
I believe you. Lou, you've never lied to us. You've never steered us wrong ever.
Happy holidays.
And to you.
Right back at
you. Thanks, Lou.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Lou.
You too. Do you know... nog is a small block or peg of wood.
Well, there's no wood in eggnog, is there? What am I drinking?
I have no idea.
I always thought nog meant like holiday beverage. That's not what it means?
No.
Oh, all right.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh.
Merriam-Webster is saying a strong ale formerly brewed in Norfolk, England.
Wendy, it's Christmas time. Come on.
It's a strong ale or a peg of wood.
All right. Well, I hope in eggnog form it's more of an ale than a peg of wood.
Bill.
Come on.
All right. Speaking of whipped cream and the shortage of whipped cream, I know someone who has whipped cream.
Who does?
Baker Square.
Oh, Baker. Oh, I see what you're doing. All right, go on.
And right now we have a gift certificate for Baker Square. Spread holiday cheer to friends and family this season with delicious pies from Baker Square, including the classic pecan, holiday French silk, and candy cane. Ordering from Baker Square is as easy as pie at bakersquare.com. And if you would like a Baker Square gift certificate, which who wouldn't? Be the seventh caller right now, 312-981-7200. Seventh caller, 312-981-7200.
More show coming your way next. And in about 15 minutes, Christmas songs. We promised this yesterday. We'll go through the songs that are classics, but what we really want is songs that we may not have heard of before that can become holiday classics. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy trying our best to get through this whipped cream shortage.
Yeah, Lou Manfredini called in and said that there's something called Creasy, and it's basically a mason jar with little ball bearings in it.
Yeah.
And you shake it up, and that moves around and whips it up, and you can get whipped cream. He said if you continue shaking it, you get butter, and I don't know that we believed him. But 847 texted us, when I taught preschool, I'd sit the kids in a circle. We'd pass around a mason jar with a popsicle stick and heavy cream in it, and we'd make butter.
Oh, how about that? He was right.
We made butter. I don't know if it was a mason jar, but we were learning about the prairie life and a butter churn.
Yeah.
And we made butter in something like that, too, where you just keep shaking it. And it was so exciting to put it on a saltine cracker. And at the time,
you know, I guess that,
it was
yeah.
like, oh, a little snack. And then you're like, you think about it, and it's like, it's just butter.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't that good.
Butter's a miracle, but it's easily purchased. You don't have to anymore make your own. There was a time where you had to make your, if you wanted butter, you had to create your own. But
what if there's a butter shortage, like there is a whipped cream
shortage?
Well, there
is a serious whipped cream shortage, Wendy. I don't mean to make light of it.
Speaking of school, there were several schools that closed today because of the cold or
right.
had a late start.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed a lot of people on Facebook were criticizing that, saying, oh, my God, we didn't have school closed because it was cold.
Never.
Ever.
No. If there was excessive snow.
Yeah.
I know during my scholastic career, so you have 8 years of grade school, 4 years of high school, and 4 years of college, 16 years in total, there were a total of 3 snow days. Because of the weather.
And legitimately snow.
Always a lot of snow.
Probably 79, the blizzard.
I don't remember which years, but I did. In my head, I kept a running total, 3. Now, my daughters had years where they would miss 3 in a year, either snow or cold or something like that.
It's really changed. And I know a lot of it that they bring up is the busing issues.
Yeah.
But for working parents, you need your kid at school.
Sure.
You really do. And Michael's in high school, and yesterday, a minute before the bell rang at the end of the day,
yeah.
the principal got on the PA system and said, attention LT students, I just want to let you know that there are some school closings because of the cold tomorrow.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow, kids.
Oh, no.
Isn't that
great? With their heads.
I think that's awesome.
How was their reaction to that?
I think a whole huge groan was let out at the
sure.
same time, and we could hear it miles away. But I think that's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny, but I think if I was one of those kids, I would not be thrilled.
He
with
just
that.
Wanted to let you know
right.
that LT would be open.
Right. It seemed like, and if you grew up in Chicago and you're about the age that Wendy is or the age that I am, either of those two generations, you probably remember that on a snowy day or a cold day, it was Ray Rayner who gave the news of the school closings. And it seemed like Ray would many times name every single school in Illinois except for the school that we went to.
Every single school.
Yeah.
And the school I went to.
Yeah. What's with that?
I don't know. And then my mom would be blasting the radio to hear the school closings,
Wally
too.
Wally Phillips would also
yes.
do the same, yeah.
And I'd be praying. I'd be on my knees.
Right.
Please, please, please.
Right.
Never.
Yeah, the law of averages would almost dictate that at some point, and like I said, we had 3 closings at my school, at St. Damien's School, 3 in the 8 years I went there. And I remember on all 3 of them, it was an insane amount of snow. Like a dangerous amount of snow.
Seriously, though, the schools, if I was looking over the lists because they were released yesterday, and it didn't seem like there was a particular area. It was like some in Indiana, right. Some in Elgin, some in Aurora, a couple in Orland. It was really kind of willy-nilly.
Who makes the call? Is it the principal that makes the call? Is there somebody on the school board whose decision it is to...
It's the 12-year-old who figured out how to hack the system. He makes the call.
That kid's going places.
But, yeah, no, there was school to be, and, I mean, I guess I could see it. It's really freezing out there. And if you have little babies that you're taking to preschool, some of the preschools were closed. But, again, if a kid doesn't go to school, one of the parents, or if it's a single parent, has to stay home.
There's no alternative.
So
what
we
else
like
can
to
you
see,
do?
I would like to see the kids go to school year-round.
Yeah. Would you? Would that be good for you?
Yeah, because everybody was off this summer, and I don't get the whole summer off.
It would have, as a kid, it would have destroyed me to not have summers off. Because I always,
you
in my head, I knew, sometimes I knew to the hour how long until summer vacation.
How many hours before our vacation?
I couldn't tell you.
Where are you guys going again?
Well, we're both taking, Wendy and I are both taking next week off and then the week after as well.
Aren't you traveling together, though?
No, we're not traveling anywhere. You want to come to Peoria together. With me to see my brother?
Is that a change? Did something happen?
No, we're not. We're not allowed to travel together.
Yeah, it's just like the president and the vice president.
Right, you have to travel separately.
Who is it?
Bill's the president.
Oh. Okay.
He's going to make the show great again.
Right.
Hi, Jensen.
Hi. I just want to add, I grew up in Frankfurt back when it was still a tiny town, and in grade school at Hickory Creek School, we were right next to Hickory Creek, a tiny little creek in the woods, and we had a science teacher that used to pull our legs. He would talk about the creek effect snow, like the lake effect snow, and we were kids. We knew lake effect snow in Chicago meant, you know, everything would be shut down, and I remember him calling the principal over the big intercom and asking him, is the creek effect snow coming in? Are the kids going to get out early today? And we believed it 100%.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love that. That's brilliant.
That's just a memory when I was a kid that I still cherish. That the creek effect snow is going to come swooping in, shut the school down, and we'll all get to go home early.
Well, thank you for sharing that, and have a wonderful Christmas.
You guys are the best.
Thanks, Jensen.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday.
Speaking of Christmas, after the news, a list was put together of some of the top Christmas songs of all time, and we would like to invite the listeners and you yourself and Steve, if you have a favorite Christmas song, we would like to share with one another. 312-981-7200. We'll do that after the news, and we need to congratulate. Was it Kay from Chicago? Was it Scott from Park Ridge? All right. Scott from Park Ridge won
right now,
our...
Kay from Chicago has got the weirdest look on her face. Like, wait, what happened?
Well, she got the Firehouse Subs.
Oh, she won that earlier. Okay.
Yeah. We're just giving.
You can't win twice in a day. That would be wrong.
No, so Scott from Park Ridge scored the Baker Square gift certificate, and I believe we may have more tomorrow coming your way.
Good. All right, so your favorite Christmas songs, try to shock us. Give us a song maybe we haven't heard before. We'd love to hear it.
I have one you've never heard before.
I can't wait to hear. You said yesterday. All right, so all that's coming up right after the news with Steve. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I got to tell you, Christmas music makes me happy.
Here's the thing. Me too, but
I know.
Never,
tell my face that.
You've
I know.
Never worked at a station where
know.
It's forced on you. Like, I love it. I love it so much. But I've worked at two different stations where over Christmas, I worked at The Light and then a station called WNND. And they started, honestly, in October playing Christmas music. And then you just get fed up with it. But now I love it again.
See,
I do.
I have to find, I'm glad you're doing this, unusual Christmas music, because I'm so tired of the same 15 songs.
But Steve, you know, even though there's more than 15, but some of them, if you don't hear Bing Crosby and Johnny Mathis and Nat King Cole, then you go, well, what kind of Christmas tribute to music was that without those songs, right?
Once or maybe 10 times.
And then it's too much?
But when it gets, yeah. And
I love it. Bring it on.
Really?
Yeah. And there are some songs that Esquire magazine put together, like the 25 best Christmas songs of all time.
Yeah,
we're not going to play all of them, and we're going to listen to the listeners as well.
But was there anything on that list that you go, wait, I don't think I know that song? You know all 25, right?
Yes, including this one.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart,
and
this
you broke
Ram,
it.
Right?
Yep. This is a great song.
This is a good song. I think Andrew Ridgely really shines on this one.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
I gave you?
That's the way they say it in England.
I gave you my heart?
Yeah, that's how they say it in England.
All right, that's definitely on the list.
That's a great song.
It really is.
Yeah.
Whether you like Wham or not, mm-hmm. he does a fine job with it,
Ridgely
I would say.
Rocks.
He's holding the portable technotronic thing, isn't
even
he?
Even John Oates is going, hey, could you contribute just a little bit, please, something?
All right. Well, Henrietta has a song. That's one of her favorites. Hi, Henrietta.
Hi. Sorry you guys are not going to be around next week. I'll miss listening to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
You can come to the house.
Stop by our houses. Hey. All right.
Hey, I'll come.
All right.
Sure, no problem.
That was easy.
the song that's very, well, get your hanky out, Wendy. This is kind of a touching song, a sad song. If you have a son, it's called Little Red Shoes by Jerry Butler, and it's on the Street Carols CD. And I know Steve King, this is like one of his favorite songs. I've heard them talk about it as well.
This is a sad song.
It's touching.
Yeah.
It's touching.
I never heard this. Little Red Shoes?
Little Red Shoes. It's Jerry Butler singing about his son growing up over the years. The Little Red Shoes refers to his, when he was a baby, the little red shoes that he wore. And he is reminiscing about this, and he's thinking it's been such a joy to see you grow. And at the end, he's waiting for him to come home and to see you come through the door and think about the little red shoes you wore. It's just, I don't know, you have to hear it. It's very touching.
Well, you're going to hear a little bit of it in a second, Henry. Is this your favorite Christmas song? Is this your number one of all time?
It's in the top five.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hear a little of it.
A little boy to me, and at Christmas time, you'll always find my love beneath the tree.
I like it already.
Those Little Red Shoes. They play this at Tom McCann if you go there at Christmas time.
Bill, come on. Henrietta, thanks for the tip. We really appreciate it. I'm going to be listening to this when I'm wrapping presents.
Yeah, listen to the words. It'll touch your heart.
It's pretty.
Thank you. Happy Christmas or Merry Holidays, whatever it is you celebrate.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Henrietta.
Thanks, Henrietta.
I never heard that song.
Oh, yeah. It's a heart tugger.
All right. We have another listener who would like to share a favorite song, and this is Jill. Hi, Jill.
Hi, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays.
Thanks, Jill. You too.
So my husband is one of those guys who puts on the big Christmas show.
Oh.
And he is brilliant, and he does it to songs. And he always needs a song that moves along.
Yeah.
And he discovered Toby Mac's It's Christmas. And it's a wonderful, wonderful song. And it has turned into my favorite of the nine that he has.
Yeah.
It's my favorite one.
Before we hear a little of it, your husband puts on a Christmas show just by himself?
Well, yeah. We were those people that had 80,000 Christmas lights in our front yard.
The Griswolds.
Well, we're the Nixwolds.
So he just does a solo show for you, for the neighbors?
No, it was for everybody in the community. I live in one of these golf cart communities. And anyway, when we moved, we donated it all to our local Properties Owners Association, but we still have to wire it all up.
So the show is lights. It's not a stage show. It's with lights, right?
It's Christmas lights. Yeah. That go back and forth, programmed to music, just like you see on WGN with those Cubs guys.
All right. And this was one of the songs that was programmed in?
It's a great song.
Let's hear a little of it, Kevin.
Now Johnny never got his wish December 25th. That's what he said when we left the orphanage. 9 years old, but Johnny was an old soul. Gonna spend his first Christmas in the real hall. Then he showed me a picture he made the night before. A drawing of a man standing outside the door. He said, I see him in my dream. It comforts me when I can't sleep.
Now who is this? This is pretty
it's
catchy.
It's the right song.
Oh, this isn't the right song?
No, it goes, it's Christmas this year, we're going to make a sound, we're going to take it down, it's Christmas this year. And then the phrase is, holy, holy, holy Lord, God is shining through. It's the girl from
Threepence or something or other.
Sixpence None the Richer?
Yes.
Yeah?
The girl that sings that, sings the, I don't know, you guys call it, the professionals call it a bridge.
Yeah.
It's like you two are speaking a foreign language to me right now.
I think I know this song. I think I know this song.
Kevin, you may have found it. Let's hear this. I like your version better, Jill, if you want to know the truth.
This is good, though. I like this.
I like this song, too. And who does this?
Toby Mac. He's a Christian singer.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
And we're not Christian music listener tours, but
this one does it for you.
Hey, Jesus Rock, yeah, too.
It's a great song. It really is.
Merry Christmas, Jill. Thank you so much for sharing.
Merry Christmas to you guys. Love your show.
Oh, thank you, Jill. Have a great holiday. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Bye. I have another one that's on this list from Esquire, and this should totally... This is one of my all-time favorites.
This is good. Darling Love?
Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
She sang this on New Girl the other night. She was on,
she was on it?
Yeah, singing this. It was great. On New Girl, Jess, the lead character, was complaining that this Christmas did not live up to her expectations. And earlier in the episode, she talked about when she was a little girl and she would see Darlene Love sing this song. So her friends all got together and brought Darlene Love to their apartment, and she sang it outside, and they had fake snow, and it made up for her lousy Christmas.
I would have cried.
It was really nice.
If you want to get any kind of great Christmas record, the Phil Spector's Very Special Christmas has this, and the Ronettes, Ronnie Spector. All, I love these girl groups, and nothing says Christmas to me like that. We'll continue your calls, 312-981-7200. If Kevin can't find it, hopefully you'll sing it like Jill did. That
was
awesome.
Great. All right, more in a moment. Give us a call or a text, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. This, of course, is on the Esquire magazine 25 Top Christmas Songs of All Time.
Should be.
Can't argue with this.
Yeah.
From a Charlie Brown Christmas, of course.
Vince Guaraldi?
Yes.
Really
trio.
Good. Yeah, there's three Vince Guaraldis. They sound great together. Their voices blend beautifully.
They do. All right. We have some more listeners that want to jump in and talk about their favorite Christmas song. And this is Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Couldn't be better. Bob, what's yours?
Mine is Do You Know How Christmas Trees Are Grown? It's by Nina, and it's from a James Bond movie, actually. Way back in the late 60s on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
I have never heard this before. How did this one get past me? All right, do we have this one, Kevin? Yeah? All right, there's a little bit of this. Again, this is Nina. Do you know how Christmas trees are grown? Listen to this.
Do you know how Christmas trees are grown? They need sunshine. Sunshine can't grow Christmas trees alone. They need raindrops. Raindrops can't grow Christmas trees. Here's the reason why. In the winter, rain will freeze. And the trees.
Now, this isn't Nina from 99 Sesh Left Balloons.
No, it's a different. This sounds like Julie Andrews singing a James Bond theme about Christmas, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's a weird mix of music, but I kind of like that. How were you made aware of this song, Bob?
Just from watching James Bond movie.
No, I've seen the movie on Her Majesty's Secret Service. I don't know how I don't know this.
Okay, it's in the scene where he's being chased by some of the bad guys, and he's out on the ice rink, and then Diana Rigg puts on her skates and skates out.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, now okay.
And he's with one of the bad... he's ice skating with one of the villainesses.
Yeah.
And she, some gun shoots and just misses him, and it hits the bad woman, of course.
Right.
And
don't say more, it'll give away the ending.
Spoiler alert.
But it's an old, it's an old movie.
I never think of that as a Christmas
boogie.
Who do you think you're talking to?
This is 1968, brother, not 1958. Now, you mice gotta get it together. Now, if you wanna hang around here, you just gotta be quiet.
Mice? Who are you calling mice? We're chipmunks!
All right, chipmunks. Cool it now. Listen.
It's canned heat and the chipmunks.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, Christmas is a time when you're supposed to have lots of chill. I said Christmas is a time when you're supposed to have lots of chill.
So what year was this done?
68.
I got the blues for the world with all this chops and fill.
The chipmunks come back in with them. Isn't this the weirdest thing?
That's a crazy
thing?
Blend, yeah. Not as crazy as Bing and Bowie, but still crazy.
Wait, I just want you to hear the chipmunks coming back in.
Chase them away, brother!
I don't know where the chipmunks come back in, but I did not know that the chipmunks and canned heat hooked up for a Christmas song. But listen to it on your own time because it's really amazing.
I never heard that.
I win.
That's interesting. You do win. All right. We have a bunch of people with songs of their own that they want to share. We're looking for not just your classics, but your more out-of-the-way Christmas songs, stuff that we can all add to our playlist.
The anti-light. That's what we want to be.
That's what we are. That's what we're trying to be. So 312-981-7200, give us a call or a text. If you're on hold, stay there, and we'll get to as many of you as we can right after the news. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Thank you, Steve.
The newsroom band is getting ready.
Did the light ever play Jimi Hendrix, Little Drummer Boy?
No, despite all the requests that we got for Jimi Hendrix, Little Drummer Boy, we never played it at the light.
Not cool enough. We're the anti-light here on WGN.
I like that.
It's Bill and Wendy. We're talking about your favorite Christmas songs and trying to do something different. Shall we take some calls?
Oh, yes.
All right. This is Gary. Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good, how are you?
You have a different Christmas song for us?
Yeah, I don't think you would have heard this on the light.
That's
is
good.
Called Do the Christmas Polka. Oh,
and it's performed by whom?
Frankie Yankovic.
I think he's mentioned in the song.
Oh, is he? Good.
Carl King, K-A-R-E-L King.
All right, Carl King, and the song again is called Do the Christmas Polka. What year about did this come out? What era is this from?
Well, I just got this as a gift.
Oh.
So, 2009,
I guess.
2009.
That's what Kevin says. Yeah? He's a big fan of the Christmas Polka. Let's hear a little of it. A one and a two.
Listen, people, gather round. Grab a partner, don't sit down. Christmas time is here, bringing all the cheer. Let's make a circle right around the Christmas tree and do the Christmas polka. First and left and then spin right, shout ho, 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 with all your might. Then say yaksel marsh, oh, say dobry dash. Now you've said hello, my friend, to everyone. Let's all do the Christmas polka.
I'm not a big polka fan, but this doesn't bother me that much.
No, it's kind of fun.
My only wish was that it seemed like the guy singing, and I'm guess that's Carl, I'm guessing, it seemed like he had a fake European accent. I'd rather somebody with an authentic European accent. Do you
what
know
you
mean?
Talking about, Bill?
That's what I, didn't it sound a little much? Yeah. But other than that, that's a good song.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Thank you,
thanks,
Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Merry Christmas.
See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
All right, this is Wes on the line. Hi, Wes.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks for sharing your favorite Christmas song with us.
Oh, I love Christmas songs. For years I've been making Christmas music, downloading and making albums, and I like to have obscure songs that, you know, you don't always hear.
Yeah.
I got tired of hearing the same old songs over and over and over. So in maybe 7 years I made 8 CDs, and all of them are different songs and different artists.
And you give them to your family and friends at Christmas time, right?
Exactly.
That's beautiful. Exactly. That's very nice.
Like 201 songs. So I actually picked one because there are a lot. They're probably all my favorites. But I actually picked one because I got this from a personality at WGN, and I thought it might be Spike Odell. And it was back in 2006. He said he played this song, and he said, you can download it for free, and he gave the website. And I was in the process of making a Christmas album. And so I copied it, and I kept it on the album.
Oh,
and it's
good.
What I Want for Christmas, and it's by Lemon.
Lemon.
Lemon. L-E-M-O-N.
All right. Let's hear a little bit of it. It's What I Want for Christmas from Lemon. Here goes.
Despite the fact that it's different and I've never heard it before, it sounds familiar to me.
What, like,
I don't know the sound of it.
Yeah? I like that. It doesn't sound Christmassy, but it's still, it sounds like a good song somehow, doesn't it?
Well, actually, my favorite, like, winter-type song was...
Are you going through your tapes right now?
I'm looking at them. It's hard to remember all these.
I know.
It's actually by Tommy Rowe, and it's called It's Now a Winter's Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually my favorite song. It's a winter song,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not. But
well, Tommy Rowe did the Sheila song, right?
Yeah, he's been around for
a while. My little Sheila. Yeah. Yes. All right, well, and, we'll look for that. You should send us one of your Christmas tapes, although
do.
How do you make a copy of it? I'm sure you don't have a dual deck.
No, I can make copies. I do it right on my computer.
Look at that.
All right, well, send one out. We'd love to hear it, Wes. Thank you so much.
What year do you want? I have 2002, 2003, 2005, 2006, 2007.
What happened in 2004? Why is there no 2004?
He was busy that year.
I'll tell you, I got injured at work.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And I thought, well, I don't have time to do this. So.
Well, do 2005 then.
2005. All right.
Thank you.
Have a Merry Christmas, Wes. Thank you so much.
You as well. Merry Christmas to you all.
See, Wes has got it going on because you do want something different.
Sure.
How about this? This is also on the Esquire 25 Top Christmas Songs of All Time. R&B classic. He used to be sitting on the dock of the bay.
It is Otis Redding, correct?
And now he's telling you Merry Christmas, baby.
Yep.
Merry Christmas, baby. Did the light play this?
No, we did not play this. We should have.
I like the jingle bells in the background.
Yeah, that's a nice sound, isn't it? I like that.
Merry Christmas, baby, from Otis Redding. And now Sue wants to share her favorite Christmas song. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I would like to hear Christmas Dream. I believe it's from Perry Como, but I don't remember the year at all.
I think that is Perry Como. That sounds right. So Christmas Dream, I think sometime in the 60s. Does that sound familiar? Does that be right?
Sounds about right.
All right, so here's Christmas Dream from Perry Como.
Thank you.
Watch me now, here I go. All I need's a little snow. Starts me off, sets the theme, helps me dream my Christmas dream. Every year I dream it, hoping things will change. And into the cry and the shouting, the dying. And I hope you will dream it too. It's Christmas, remember, we got to remember. So light the light, I'm home tonight. I need you to warn me, to call me.
It kicks in, I'm sure.
To help me to dream my Christmas dream.
Is this it, Sue?
This is it.
That's the one.
That's the duet. The it's Perry Como and Sue together.
I know
it's the
you're
the one they ever did together.
You are adorable, Sue.
That's beautiful.
Oh, I love that talk.
Well, have a Merry Christmas and thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and you guys have a wonderful holiday.
Thanks, Sue. You too. Now, you should know this about Perry Como. You said, I'm sure it kicks in. Perry Como never kicked in. He performed for 55 years, and he never once kicked in. It just wasn't his thing to kick in.
Was that Eugene Levy who played him on SCTV, and he would just lay down on the stage and sing?
The most laid-back performer of all time, Mr. Perry Como, and he'd sing I Will Survive laying on the stage. Yeah.
Fantastic. Hi, Dick. How are you?
Hello.
Dick, we're looking for songs that are holiday-based but a little bit different from the norm. Do you have one or two? What have you got?
Well, what I've got is a couple of days ago, on your show, you had a song I'd never heard before. It's called I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. They sold some of the words, and I wish it could be Christmas every day. It had a great melody.
And we played that?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember when that came up. All right, so do you remember who did it?
The guy I talked to before, I said he thought maybe Wizard, but I don't know.
All right, yeah, let's hear a little bit of it. Kevin, do you have this? I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. Let's listen to this.
Is this it, Dick?
That's not it.
Who's doing it? Oh, that's not it?
I was just playing. That isn't it. It's much gentler lyric, sort of a lyrical sound. Not like that at all.
So a totally different song from that. It's not just a different version. It's a different, completely different song, right?
Well, it could be just a different version. It's possible.
I wonder, because I don't remember playing a song called
Maybe it
that.
Was Steve Cochran. We'll find Maybe. Out. We'll try and find out, Dick.
It could have been later, yeah.
All right.
Well, will you have a Merry Christmas? Will you at least do that for us?
I will. You too.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
This is WGN Radio. Call in your song requests, and we will play a different song for you. No one else does it on the radio.
Phil, no one does a lot of the stuff we do. Esquire.com put together the 25 best Christmas songs of all time, and here's another one, and I hate when they do this. It's a commercial.
Oh,
this
let's
woman,
hear that.
I think, just passed away.
Oh.
Sharon Jones, along with the Dap Kings, Please Come Home for Christmas. It's a fiery take on Charles Brown's broken-hearted love song from the much-missed soul revivalist.
Now, I've heard this song done by at least a dozen performers over the year, and I like every version.
Me too.
This is just a great song.
This is probably top two of my favorite Christmas songs done by anyone. Wish me greetings. Sharon Jones.
Yeah, this is a pretty song.
It's beautiful. All right, we have
Didn't
to take
the
a break.
Commitments do a version of that? Remember the movie The Commitments?
Yeah.
Don't they sing that at some point? I think they do.
You could be right on that.
All right, yeah, a quick commercial break and then back to some holiday songs on The Light, WGN.
We're talking about Christmas songs, and it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. I almost feel like this is one of your favorites as well as
mine. Yeah, I like this. This is good.
2,000 Miles by The Pretenders.
Yep.
Chrissy Hynde, one of the best voices in rock and roll.
Isn't she? She really is.
Did The Light play this?
No.
I'm surprised.
Isn't that crazy? I don't know why they wouldn't have, but they didn't. But yeah, Chrissy Hynde's always solid. All right, here's a couple of mine. Now, like I mentioned, I've told you this off air. Most of my favorite Christmas songs are the ones you've heard before, but some of these are a little bit different. Winter Wonderland is a standard. Everybody does a version of Winter Wonderland, but there's a version that I particularly like from a band called The Roaches. These are three sisters who sing the song, and they do it in a very thick Brooklyn accent.
I think they're from Hammond, Indiana.
I think they are, Steve. I know they're somewhere in the Midwest. So
why do they have the Brooklyn accents?
Just to make it different.
You played this for me off the air.
Isn't this good?
It's awesome.
I like this. Here's The Roaches.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Well, didn't Laverne and Shirley kind of talk like that? And they
sure.
were from Milwaukee.
Right.
So that's the Midwest
right.
Brooklyn accent.
Yeah, it's common. It's very, very common. All right. Now, the next one is a song. Anytime I hear this song, I'm 6 years old because this was the song for some reason my mom and dad played more than any other Christmas song. It's Johnny Mathis but it's one of his lesser known Christmas hits. It's a song called Marshmallow World. And if you have sugar diabetes, you should not listen to this because this is the most syrupy, sappy song of all time. But for some weird reason, I love it. Here's Marshmallow World from Johnny Mathis.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter when snow comes to cover the ground. It's the time for play. It's a whipped cream day. I wait for it the whole year round. Those are marshmallow clouds being friendly in the arms of the evergreen tree.
So it's just your most typical Johnny Mathis. He doesn't say winter. He says winter. That's the way it should be. The letter R should be drawn out as long as you possibly can. I love that song. I don't know what it is about it, but I love it.
And you've heard it from other people as
right? Yeah. Everybody does that song.
The Ronettes did a version of it, too, on this Phil Spector record.
Their version is good. There's a couple of other versions that are close, but for some reason it's Johnny Mathis' version. I think because it's the one that I grew up hearing every holiday. That's the one that does it for me. And then another one I brought in, this is from one of my favorite Rat Packers, Sammy Davis Jr. He did a whole bunch of Christmas songs. You can find all kinds of Sammy Davis Jr. Christmas songs. But the one that I think is your best Sammy Davis is Christmas Time All Over the World. Have you ever heard this?
Yeah.
This is great. Listen to a little bit of Sammy Davis Jr.
It's Christmas time all over the world, and Christmas here at home. The church bells chime wherever we roam. To you.
So that's Sammy. I've never seen him singing this, but I know he was holding a cigarette while he was singing this. I can guarantee you he was.
I also love Ronnie Spector, the Ronettes, doing this song. Frosty, you know this
one?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
The snowman was a happy, jolly soul.
Great Christmas tune. Do you have any more?
Yeah, can we do the... Kevin, I put aside a Tom Petty one. This one I think most people would know, but this is a perfect Christmas song because it's just Tom Petty with all kinds of crazy energy. It's Christmas All Over Again, and it's
a great song.
Isn't this wonderful? This one always puts me in the mood. Here's Tom Petty.
Well, it's Christmas time again. Decorations are hung by the fire.
When this comes on in my car, it goes to its loudest setting. I don't know what it is about this song. It's great when you hear it at regular room temperature, but for some reason when you hear it loud, it really bangs. It's a great song.
Tom Petty is a really talented musician, and that is one of the best Christmas songs. And I got to give good old Bruce Springsteen a little credit, too, for honestly one of the best Christmas songs of all time.
Sure.
If I can flash forward. This is the live version, of course. Putting a Santa hat on. That's Clarence Clemons playing the Santa.
Sure.
Isn't it Espanol? You know how that goes.
Love it. It's really good.
And I like the Band-Aid song.
Do they know it's Christmas time?
One of the best songs ever. There really are still good. Like, you try to do your top 10, and I could probably come up with my top 100.
Somebody redid Do They Know It's Christmas a couple of years ago, and it was a slightly different take on it, but also very enjoyable.
Well, Merry Christmas to everyone. I wish we had more time. Maybe we can do this again tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
The big radio play is tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, 10 to noon tomorrow, the WGN Players, as we've called ourselves, we'll be doing another Christmas presentation. We've done it the last three seasons. There's one coming up tomorrow at 10 o'clock, so please tune in for that. We've got news next and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Bill, our next guest you said that we had on last year, and
I
was having a difficult time remembering him, and that's because I wasn't here.
Right. You had a day off, And as is our policy here on the show, whenever you have a day off, I book better guests. I want the cream of the crop in when you're not here. So Jeff Kroll was with us last year to talk about new driving laws because, Jeff, I think you'll back me up on this. Every year these laws change. They take effect on the first of the year, and a lot of people are just not aware of these laws.
Yeah, and you guys are, first of all, killing me by having me follow up with Sammy Davis Jr., Frosty, and Petty. I
mean, right. And then you close the show.
Yeah, right. I'm more like Rudolph kind of thing. You know, last year, for example, there were 273 new laws that went into effect, to put things in perspective.
Wow.
You know, we can't get a balanced budget. We pensions are screwed up, but last year we changed the state pie to pumpkin pie.
Right.
So, I mean, we're heading in the right direction. But, you know, this year, the big one that I think your listeners really need to be aware of is bicycles and bicycle safety. Starting January 1st, bicycles are going to be treated like motor vehicles by the Motor Vehicle Code. So they're going to have all the rights and responsibilities of a motor vehicle. And that's good and it's bad. We live in a city here that's encouraging bike use.
Sure.
You know, they're promoting it. And even today I've seen there's people coming down on bikes right now.
On the divvy bikes, yeah.
The divvy bikes. And the sad part is, you know, it's a recipe for disaster out there because we're encouraging more bicyclists out there. We're promoting biking, but we don't have the infrastructure for it. It's now bikes and trucks trying to peacefully coexist in a lane.
Yeah.
Last year, there were 6 deaths in the city of Chicago, bicyclists. 3 of them were women, and they were killed by trucks making a turn. And there's a new study that came out, which, and this is not a sexist, I think this is so true.
Yeah.
Women are more prone to these accidents because they follow the law more. Like if there's a stop sign, they'll stop.
Yep.
The guys won't stop. 1 in 25 bicyclists stop at stop signs. I'll bet you women, it's that number is about 20 out of 25 because they're
we follow the rules.
You follow the rules, and most guys are knuckleheads. you know, it's true.
Now there was a debate the other day as to whether or not bikers should hold true to that law. If you're riding a bike and you come upon a stop sign. Some people say, no, I'm a bike. I don't need to abide by that. But where does that stand legally?
Well, that's the million-dollar question because I think with this new law, bicyclists aren't going to stop at stop signs. They're still going to do what they do. There was this new study that came out of DePaul that they want to use the Idaho law from the state of Idaho. That's where people don't stop at stop signs on bikes. They kind of give them freedom to do what they want to do.
They only stop if there's a potato in the road, which right? Is that a strange law? Yeah.
But wait, they're going to get killed. I mean, I stop at a stop sign because I don't trust the cars going by.
Sure.
I'm not doing it because I don't know if it's a law or not, but you know, if you're on a bike, you'll stop at an intersection to make sure it's clear to proceed.
And the problem is right now what this study came out and said was women are kind of in the blind spot because they're stopped alongside the truck.
Yeah.
Whereas guys, they're idiots. They're going to move forward and get past the truck so the truck sees them. And that's how 3 of these deaths occurred.
Yeah.
I represent Ginny Murray, who was the first divvy bike death in North America. Horribly sad case that was preventable, but they just didn't see her. And she was doing everything that the divvy and everything that people wanted her to do. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So there's this conflict going on right now, and it's going to get worse, unfortunately, because we don't have like a dedicated bike lane throughout the city of Chicago. People use bikes anywhere and everywhere. This new study, which I thought was fascinating, going from parts of the city, from part A to part B, was faster taking a bike than Uber or public transportation.
Right.
So it's mind-boggling where you get more and more people on the road with bikes, but this is just a disaster waiting to happen.
I have a question about bike riding. In the suburbs, I don't know if the laws correspond to what's going on in Chicago, but taking your dog for a walk, usually the dog's leading ahead of you, come to a corner, there are high bushes on both sides, the dog leads turning the corner, there's kids on bikes, sometimes adults on bikes on the sidewalk, they're going to kill my dog.
Yeah.
Are they supposed to be riding on the sidewalk?
You know, it depends on the municipality. There's different ordinances. You know, for example, where I live, you're not supposed to have your bike on the sidewalk.
Ever.
But they do.
They don't enforce that.
Parents don't want their children with bikes in the street.
I know.
So it's a double-edged sword. You know, which one is it? Do you want to be breaking the, quote, law and having your children ride on a sidewalk? I have an 8-year-old. I have 2 kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 15-year-old. And somewhat of an uplifting story here. My 15-year-old, Jack, who at the rate he's going in school, will be driving a fork truck someday because he's just not getting it right now and not having fun. But he's a great kid. But the safety of these children scares the heck out of me. It just scares me because you see these people on bikes, these divvy bike riders, they're crazy driving down.
And they're on the sidewalk too. Isn't it illegal in Chicago to be on the sidewalk?
It is. There's so many. But where do they go? Where do they go?
Stay on the right, on the side of the street, and then you hope no one hits you.
And then you get what's known as a dooring accident where someone opens their door and you run into the door.
Jeff, I drive a big wheel to work. Are the law is going to change for me? Here's a quick question. I've seen this happen twice in the city. There will be a bike lane.
I can't get the visual out of my head.
Me on a big wheel? I'll send you a picture. You'll love the picture.
It's his Christmas card this year.
All right, so you come to an intersection. You have a bike lane. And there will be a sign that says that it's okay for pedestrians to walk, but you have a bike coming down the bike lane. Who has the right of way? Does the biker have the right of way in the bike lane, or does the pedestrian who has the walk light, do they have the right of way?
January 1st, I will tell you it's the pedestrian.
It is.
Because those bicyclists have to follow the rules of the road.
Yeah.
But the reality is that's not going to happen. It's not. Some of these people, I got to tell you, when I filed these lawsuits on behalf of bicyclists, they were on TV and they were in the newspapers. The people are adamant one side or the other on pro bike or anti bike.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just amazing. You've got the younger generation that's pro bike. That's how they get along. You know, they don't have cars now.
Right.
They don't need anything. But then you've got, I don't want to say I'm in the older generation because I'm, you know,
young.
Yeah.
We all are guys.
I drove a unicycle this morning.
You did?
Back in the day.
He went to clown college.
Went to Marist High School. So
same thing.
Yeah. But it's interesting because January 1st isn't going to change anything. I think if anything, there's going to be more deaths because you're going to have, as Wendy said, the women that are going to be the rule followers.
Yeah.
They're going to do what the rules say. There's going to be others that don't know the rules. There's going to be the other set that's like, I'm not stopping at a stop sign. And then you're going to have truckers that, you know, it's my lane of traffic.
I'll plow through.
I'll make the right-hand turn. And that's the scary part right now.
We have to take a break. 312-981-7200. We have a couple of questions lined up. And we are talking to Jeff Kroll. Partner where?
Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard.
And how do people contact you?
312-372-1227, and our website is salvilaw, salvilaw.com.
All right, we'll continue in a moment. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Jeff Kroll, an attorney for Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard, and we're talking about the new driving laws, and you'll also be affected if you're a bicycle rider, that go into effect on January 1st. These are new things you need to be aware of for your own safety, for your own good.
Yeah. One of the other big issues that is now going to be law in Illinois effective January 1st, and candidly, I always thought this was the law, but I just found out it was not the law everywhere. If a school bus is stopped and there's children boarding or getting off the bus, you have to stop.
Yeah.
No more passing the bus. Just, you know, sometimes you don't, I can't believe people would do it, but it's happened. There's been a lot of tickets.
I've seen it. But don't they have a little stop sign that comes out? So you have to treat that as a stop sign.
We got stop signs everywhere.
Don't stop. Yeah, I guess.
Is this on both sides of the road, the side that the bus is stopped on and the other side as well?
I don't know that, but I hope so.
Yeah.
I sure hope so.
It should be.
I stop no matter what. You know, last year when we talked, Bill, one of the new laws was if those trucks, if recycling trucks with their lights on, you've got to stay away to the left because some of these people driving these recycling trucks would get out and do something and get plowed. People are careless. That's the bottom line. They're in a hurry, and you know their gamble, you know, sadly costs lives.
You're not going to get there on time if you're dead. I'm going to put that on my tombstone.
That should be on there. But you can't expect people, Jeff, to be focusing on the road when they're texting and playing video games on their phone. That's impossible.
Well, yeah, distracted driving. I don't know how you police it any better. I have seen police officers texting while driving.
Yeah, I know.
Today when I drove downtown, there was a woman that had like a German Shepherd on her lap on the Eisenhower during rush hour driving.
And the German Shepherd was texting. Should never happen.
She was German Shepherd was driving, which made it more disturbing.
That seems all right.
But it's And by the way, Springsteen, Santa Claus is coming to town. How is that one not?
I know, that should be in there.
Yeah, but this texting, here's why it's scary. And my son that's 15, you know, Wendy, your son that's 17, what is frightening to me is they think it's not a big deal to look down and check out a text while driving. The average person that does that, it takes 5 seconds to look down, read the text.
Yeah.
If you're traveling 55 miles an hour, you're traveling 80 feet per second. In those 5 seconds, you've covered more than Soldier Field.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in five. Yeah. You know, a lot's not happening at Soldier Field.
Nothing's happening at Soldier Field.
But a lot can happen in 5 seconds when you've got a motor vehicle, especially a truck or what have you.
Right. Go on.
I was just going to say the kids are better than adults.
They are.
Because they're scared of it now. They've been brought up when texting was always happening. It's new to us, and I see more adults texting. Kids are better about it.
Well, I'm sure on Lakeshore Drive, no different than coming down the Eisenhower or the Stevenson, it's amazing what people are doing while driving. They could be texting, eating, having something in the...
Putting mascara on.
Well, I got caught doing that once. Never. That was a mistake. Yeah. That was with the German Shepherd.
Oh, was it? All right, fine. Then you're okay.
Yeah.
All right, so they passed a law a couple of years ago that it is illegal in the state of Illinois to text and drive at the same time. I have never once seen anyone pulled over for texting while driving, and I see people texting constantly. On my way into work every day, more people are texting than not texting while I'm driving in. Why aren't the cops doing something
and
about
Bill,
this?
And, Bill, if I may add, they don't hide it. They're not,
no,
like, the
no
phone
one's
isn't down
it.
Here. It's upright. I mean, any officer sitting there can see that.
Like I said, I think we're having a difficult time policing it, and I, no pun intended, but I mean, if they would be so busy writing tickets, but if it saves a life,
right, then it's worth it.
It's worth it. And you know, sadly, with our firm, we're seeing so much of this texting, and the sad part is you don't really know the true data, because if you get in an accident, the first thing you're not going to say is I was texting. Everybody's in denial on that because it's such a...
But they could check a phone record. If somebody hit me with a car, I would demand that they take the phone away and check the record.
And that's the first thing we do is because that doesn't lie.
Yeah.
That information's there. You know what else is now? The eye in the sky, there's cameras everywhere, which is amazing. You can see now, I've got a case now that's going to trial next year where the camera is picking up the driver using his phone and texting as he's going through a red light. You talk about, you know, why aren't these people safer, what have you. They're doing it. And I don't know how it stops it until it's them.
Right.
All right, there's a listener who has a great question. If we could backtrack a little bit and go back to the bikes. John, this is something I think we were taught when we were younger to how you should ride the bike on a street. Go ahead.
You talking to me? You should drive on the other side of the street so you can see the car coming at you, and you can see if he can see you. You also will not run into somebody opening their door because they see you coming. You're not coming from behind.
And it's funny.
The only thing you should be doing is watching people's turn signals when you get to the corner.
If they use them.
Sign, you watch the guy. Let's say he's going to make a left in front of you because you're on the I'm on the opposite side of the street. I can see his turn signals. You watch everybody's turn signals. You see if they're going to turn in front of you. You can't see a person's turn signal if he's going to turn in front of you if you're on the same side of the street and he's coming up behind you.
All right.
That makes sense.
That makes total
Perfect
sense.
Perfect sense.
That's, you know, to be honest with you, that's how we were taught as kids to go against traffic.
Right.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
And then John brought up a couple of great points there. And my one concern is these people making a right-hand turn that are stopped. Whether or not they have their signal on, their focus is on traffic coming from their left.
Of course, sure.
They're not going to be looking for the bicyclist coming alongside them on the right.
Yeah.
And that's where these deaths are occurring. And, you know, if I had advice for my child riding a bike, I don't know what it would be now. Because you're in trouble if you ride on a sidewalk. You're going to get killed if you drive on some of these city streets.
Right.
I don't know what else to tell them.
Ride a stationary bike.
There's
fewer accidents on stationary bikes than any other bike.
You're like the Shell answer man.
He is.
Right, thank you.
Take
for
the
that.
S away.
Yeah.
But honestly, you just have to pay attention out there, everyone. If you're on a bike or in a car or in a truck, there is a blind spot that's always there. You have to pay attention or you're going to get hit.
Yeah.
Two minor things that I think are interesting. Number one, if you get arrested because you don't have insurance, that's going up. if you're, you know, if you don't have insurance coverage. What I think is amazing, if I go to get my driver's license today at the Secretary of State, they're not checking to determine whether or not I have insurance.
They don't?
Why?
I don't understand that. That's a great checks and balance. And yeah, the other thing, my 15-year-old, and Wendy, I don't know if your 17-year-old had this, but I love this. In driver's education classes now, they're going to inform the students what to do when they're pulled over by a police officer.
Yeah. They should totally do that.
Information I could have used back in back in the day. But
I thought you get out of the car. I know
well,
now
they
you
used
don't.
To say to. I guess, remember in driver's ed, they told us to.
To get out of the car and
now,
show them you have nothing in your hands.
Now there's a gun drawn on you if you do that.
Right.
So I think it's a valuable lesson.
Yes.
But it's a necessary one with today's society.
Absolutely.
And kind of what's going on.
No question. That's Jeff Kroll. He's an attorney over at Salvey, Shostak, and Pritchard. And if people want to get in touch with you for any reason, what's the best way to do that, Jeff?
Two ways. Email is jkroll, K-R-O-L-L, at salveylaw.com, and then through our website, salveylaw.com.
Great to see you. Have a great
Thanks.
Holiday.
Thank you.
Thank
we'll
you.
Find out what Roe and Anna have next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.